the next 8-4 Play podcast, your first, only, greatest, best hope for talk about Japan and games and Japanese games.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Mark Game Jesus McDonald, back fresh off the boat from E3. That's right, I took the boat.
That's right.
Back. I bring news and spices from the new world. since none of you all made it out this year.
Not for lack of wanting or trying.
Oh.
Did you try?
No, not really. No. I don't really even want to go, actually.
Well, we have the whole regular crew these days here. Introducing, let's start my right, stage left. That's Dermot Cuphead Cregan.
Cuphead.
Yeah.
Oh, you got
woke
it.
Up!
It took you a couple seconds. It took you a couple seconds. If you listen back to that, you can see the confusion on his face for like half a second.
It was like 0 to 60.
And then like finally got it, yeah.
Because there was that Cuphead DLC that was announced, so I was thinking...
Does Mark think I like Cuphead?
Yeah.
So, we're talking about soccer for people who... for those of our listeners from the Americas.
Footy.
Don't give a shit about that sort of thing. Oh. But yeah, you're into it.
I'm into it, yeah.
Were you watching the Japan game? I'm into it for the second half of pretty much every Japan game. That's my extent of World Cup. And the second half of any U.S. games if they end up being on at a reasonable hour.
Can you tell me when the last World Cup game was for the U.S., Mark?
No.
Okay, because they're not in this one.
Oh.
Good question.
Oh. Did it make it?
No.
Man.
Damn. First time in a while, too,
that
I think,
sucks.
Right?
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have like a minute to say your piece about this.
Wow.
30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Okay, well, I got to say, I'm back in France this year.
France?
Yeah. All right. They got a good young team.
He likes them young.
Yeah. So you're not your adopted country here in Japan.
Well,
you're
so...
Not
like I'm obviously supporting Japan, right? But I don't think they're going to go that far.
Oh, okay. So that's who we decide who we support. I see.
The bandwagon.
No, like,
who's going to win it all? Oh, that's who I'm in for, you know.
Yeah, it's where the smart money goes, time. Yeah.
Right, right. Coming from the guy all who didn't even know the U.S. wasn't in the cup.
Showing our true colors.
One thing that's interesting to me as a complete spectator that doesn't care at all about the sport is, like, I guess there's been a lot of upsets. Where, like, the underdogs win. And, like, as somebody who doesn't care, I love when that happens. Because it's, like...
It makes it 20% more interesting than it was before.
Exactly. So there's been a lot of that.
I mean, the fact that Japan beat Colombia is an upset.
Yeah.
They've never beaten the South American side.
Yeah, that was exciting to watch. That was a big deal because... Well, yeah. Because they're just typically not that strong, I guess.
I was watching the news right after that happened. And they showed, like, pretty much a 20-minute reel of just...
People
scenes
celebrate.
From different bars like the moment when they won. Yeah, that was
those are always fun. Those are more fun than the game itself.
What's the next Japan?
Debatable.
What's the next Japan match?
I believe they play Senegal.
I can't. It's too late to redo your nickname, right? Okay.
Saturday night. Saturday night at midnight, I believe. So like Sunday morning, right? Wasn't that the our time anyway?
Oh, yeah.
That it's
is
late.
A dangerous hour to have. Wow.
Shibuya is going to be
everybody's
a
already very...
Shibuya already was a madhouse the other night.
Yeah.
The cops all over the place.
But that's
and
going
just...
to be insane because basically you're going to have to stay... It starts at midnight?
Starts at midnight.
So you'll have to stay out past last
Yeah,
that's
lit.
First train, man.
Yeah. You go in ready for it.
Wow. Okay, so where are you going to watch it from?
I don't know yet. I watched the last one from my home because I didn't know
French,
that there was...
a bistro or something somewhere where you can watch with your other fellow French supporters and root against your... Your adopted country.
Now, okay,
that,
let's walk back.
That takes care of you, that
talk,
gives you
okay?
healthcare, and
I watched the French Australia game at the Hub, and that was about as you would imagine it went. A lot of Aussies there, a lot of oi 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 happening.
Yeah,
and then they lost. That felt good.
Like the worst place on earth. I'm trying to think of a worse place to possibly.
They're actually sitting in like different corners of the Hub. So like whenever France is doing well, you got the Frenchmen who are getting excited, and then like if Australia's doing well, there's like a chant of oi 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 is coming from over there. It was fun, man.
I can't come up with a better thing, except for maybe John, how you spent your last week is maybe the only worst situation I can think of. John, Rolling Stones, Ricciardi.
Ah, that's right.
Yes.
Rolling Stones for the last 3 years.
How'd you spend your E3?
I spent my E3 in a hospital for the first day and first 2 days, and then in bed for the rest of the week, basically.
Stones blasted.
Oh, God.
Just
some
E3 curse now, because last week, or last year, friend of the show, Mr. Gio Corsi,
That's right.
Sony fame.
That's right.
Had them actually at the show.
That's right.
Ended up missing like three quarters of the show just in like excruciating pain slash being in the hospital.
Yeah.
So at least you didn't go to E3, although it was a procedure that you were having that caused it. Like, it's right. A good thing overall.
It's a good thing overall, except for the excruciating pain for about 5 days, which is now over, thank God.
So kidney stones
are out.
So you got them
out
blasted.
In the world, birth.
They blast them with sound. Birth. Right?
They blast them with sound.
Yeah.
9,000 or so blasts of sound into my side, which starts off feeling like nothing, and by the end feels like you're getting like shot over and over and right. over again.
It's like the water torture.
Basically.
Wait, does the sound actually make a sound? It's just sound
waves. It sounds
wave.
Like... Psh, psh,
oh, it does?
Psh, psh. Okay. Yeah, but you're just hearing the like smacking, literally the smacking of the sound like into your insides
right.
or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a thing. This is, long story short, is like I've had these things in me for like 3 years. Since the day that I went out for voice recording on Xenoblade Cross, like the day I
yes.
left was
yeah.
the day this started. And I've had them in me for 3 years, basically, jumbling around, causing trouble, being a
jumbling and a rumbling.
Literal and figurative pain in the ass. Well, not pain in the ass, literal and figurative pain anyway. And yeah, finally.
Close enough.
Yeah. Pain in the kidney.
Is it? I thought there was like one big one. And
there
it like
was
broke
one
up,
big one, and what the sound does is blast it, and the sound is supposed to like blast it into sand. But this thing was really hard. I got this done once before, and it didn't do anything.
Right.
This is the second time getting it done, and this
it
time
loosened it up the first time.
Maybe this time I saw it break in half on the X-ray monitor thing or whatever. And
yeah.
and
you cry? I would have cried.
I literally cried the first night when it was, so after that it happened, and then it starts traveling through your body. That's the part that I described it. I was happy about how I described this, because this is very accurate. Take a screwdriver, jam it into your side, twist it for like an hour nonstop. That's what it feels like. And I'm not like, don't sugarcoat it. I mean, literally just stab yourself with it and twist it. That's what it feels
like. Break the skin.
Like bust it into yourself and rip it.
Yikes.
It was horrible.
Yikes.
And I literally
worst pain
cried.
You ever had in your life.
Yeah, I literally cried. Like I was like, I could not take the pain. With all the pain meds they gave me, everything, it was like insane.
Drink water, kids. I guess that's what you do.
Well,
what
that's
do
the short the advice. Yeah, drink a lot of water every day.
To some extent, though, right?
But no, with me, I'm sure it's like the 20 years of drinking all the time and not really drinking alcohol, not water.
Right.
But basically, drink a lot of water, and you will do a lot to prevent it. Anyway, long story short, a bunch of it after 3 years is now out. I don't know if it's all out yet. I have to go back for a checkup and like get checked. But like, I am pain free for like 4 or 5 days now.
Hell yeah.
So, and man, when you're I was telling Mark this the other day when we had lunch, but like when you have this kind of pain and then it goes away, just feeling normal, you feel like Superman. Like it feels like the most amazing feeling in the world. So like I really feel for people who have like chronic pain and stuff, man. That is like the worst.
Yeah, totally.
But
yeah, it's like that. Yeah. I'm always that way with migraines, or like if you're really badly hungover. And, like, when you finally feel better, you're like, man, I can fucking just, like, dive through a wall.
Well, when you're young, or when you're, like, these guys, when you're, like, Graham's age, because Graham's a power drinker, I know, like, you know, you wake up in the morning and you're like, I'm never drinking again, and then by 7 p.m.
you're
like,
drinking
the bar. Yeah, basically, so.
Graham is a power drinker. That is Graham Korea Howard.
Okay, well, that's pretty easy to understand. Yeah, I'm going to Korea tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep.
So, moving on.
Graham travels.
Why are you going to Korea?
My best boy's getting married.
Nice.
So I'm going to go stand up there, hand him his rings, say a couple
are
things.
Are you actually the best man?
Yeah, I am.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Are you giving a speech?
I am.
Oh,
nice.
Do you have it written?
Yes, I do.
Can you give us
it's very,
does he listen to this podcast?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's very complicated because like he is a British dude getting married to a Korean woman.
Yeah.
So like this wedding is going to have, I mean, English and Korean.
So all of
so I already had to make the speech and then give it to somebody so they could translate it to Korean so that it's ready.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be...
Wait, so you're going to read it in Korean?
No, somebody else will.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's pretty well thought out. So I was in a Japanese-American wedding.
International weddings seem tough, man.
Over the summer, but it was literally like a couple of hours before... The woman was just like, and also as the wedding coordinator was the one doing the interpretation, was just like, run me through the speech, because I was writing it like, you know, the days leading up to the
yeah.
You had to actually like get
yeah,
it done
I had to get
early.
It done. Yeah, I did it earlier this week, like on Monday or Tuesday. Finished
can you
it.
Improv at all if you need to? You
oh, hell yeah.
Right?
I don't usually read things like yeah. that I write. I usually yeah. just have like cues, and then I basically remember what's in my head, so I'll just speak. So I'm sure the interpreter's going to hate me.
Right.
But, you know, I'll go, and what happens
she
happens.
She can do her version.
Yeah, exactly.
Of
yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. She like has the thing that matches. I wrote. Yeah. Yeah. yeah, and like that's still a fine speech on its
that's
own, right?
That's what we used to do the GDC
that's
speeches.
That's basically, yeah.
When we used to have an interpreter, it was like, if somebody goes off totally off and makes a new thing, then interpret that. But otherwise, if they're saying roughly equivalent, the same thing, stick to the very nicely explained, you know, pre-written out thing that you have here. And
so that's going to be a fun experience. Also, just I get to, you know, see a Korean wedding.
How big is the wedding?
I don't know. Like the total number of people are there? No, I'm not
like,
sure.
Roughly, is it a big wedding or a small wedding?
Medium-ish? I have no clue.
Okay. Are Korean weddings just like Western style, like in a church sort of thing, or is it like some crazy, you know?
I'll let you know all about it when I get back. They do have like some weird traditions where like they have these, the bride and groom take these weird wedding photos where like you just go to this one studio that's like 8 floors of different settings.
Okay.
And they take all the pictures there in one day so that they can set it up in like the reception area so that it seems like this couple has a story, like they're walking you through their life.
Yeah.
So they take all these strangely choreographed photos and they just line them up, and I saw them. They're pretty cool.
Speaking of
life goals.
Speaking of weird traditions, finally we have Roy Hot Pants Blakely.
Right. It's me.
Hot Pants.
Yep. Yeah.
No explanation necessary for that. Let's talk about E3.
So you want to
talk about your hot pants?
Yeah, I mean, I could.
Please.
Why are your pants so hot? So, I recently, Dermot knows what these are. I just found out about them recently, but they're called compression tights, right?
Oh, man.
So I just discovered these. I've been going to the gym for like a couple years in Japan, and a lot of people wear these like tights under their shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started going, I was like, that's stupid. You don't need two pairs of pants. One pair of pants is plenty when you're at the gym.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, maybe I'll try them. So I ordered a couple pairs on Amazon, and I'm a believer. They're like,
is this like a sports bra for me?
Yeah,
no,
these are like super tight. Like
they're pretty
wrestling
tight.
Wrestling kind of looking.
I mean, like, they look like tights.
I mean, it's spandex.
Yeah, it's like spandex,
it
but
is
some,
spandex.
Some other magical material that somehow is like really cooling feeling, like cooling to the touch.
What?
It's like
so you wear this under your shorts.
Yeah.
And it cools you down.
Yeah. It's a base layer.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck. This you is, say that like that's supposed to mean something.
Well, it's kind of like, remember JJ's argument all the time for why he would wear two shirts?
Yeah, that made no sense at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up now that JJ's not here. Let me try to remember this, because he would always, we had this thing with the air conditioning, and I like it cold.
Same.
But he would always be wearing, he'd be like, it's so hot in here, but he wears like, the rest of us all wear t-shirts.
Right, he would wear a t-shirt with like a button-up.
And then he'd wear a button-up over that.
Yeah.
And I think his logic was that the t-shirt like absorbs the sweat, I think, and then it doesn't show through to the second shirt?
I think that's true.
Is that what it was?
I think that's...
I
think that's what it was.
Okay.
But I think it works better when it's like this tighter material. And it's also like I said, it feels cool to the touch. Like you just touch it, it's almost like the ring from Lord of the Rings. It's like magically the right temperature all the time.
How we would imagine, I guess, the ring from Lord of the Rings.
It's quite cool. That's what they said.
Wait, so I don't. So that's why you wear it, is because it keeps you cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like so my plan
moist,
is...
Or like not moist down there?
Yeah, well, that too. That's
really?
An added benefit, yeah.
So do you wear this instead of underwear?
No, I wear underwear under it.
So you're wearing three layers.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you do, Dermot, when you wear them? Do you wear...
No,
do you go?
Those are the underwear.
Those are the underwear. Yeah. Okay, well, I only used them once.
Yeah.
So I guess I have a rookie mistake.
We're learning
mistake.
Things on the podcast. Graham, you're awfully quiet over here. Self-professed gym expert.
Weightlifters don't wear that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Well, you just recently discovered tank tops, though.
Sure, I'm a big tank believer now. Yeah, I only wear tanks at the gym.
So maybe, you know, be open-minded.
But, like, is there any other benefit to these things? Like, you call them compression tights. It makes me think, like, it's good for your joints. It keeps everything stable.
Yeah, no, it also does that.
Yeah, okay, that's the point, guys.
Yeah, that is the point that you're completely...
It's not that they're cool to the touch.
Oh, well, but hot pants is the... I'm explaining hot pants.
Wait, so are these going down to your feet?
To, like, your ankles.
Ankles, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really?
I wear mine that cut off right above the knee.
Okay.
Those are compression shorts.
Okay.
All right. And the reason to do that, then, is...
Those are supportive for like your muscles in your thigh.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And also, when you're playing soccer, it's so that you don't get like burns up your leg when you slide.
Got it. Makes sense.
I also read that if you wear them on the plane, you'll be less likely to get deep vein thrombosis. Which is that thing where you just, like, I don't know, one of your veins explodes.
I do swear by them on the plane, but not for that reason.
Okay.
So I just know.
That's because they're cool.
Why?
Keeps it cool.
They're super comfy, man.
Really?
Yeah.
They seem super uncomfortable, like too tight.
No, you know how, like, everything else you wear as underwear pretty much rides up?
Yeah. They just don't.
They never ride up.
Wow.
I'm telling you, they're nice. Yeah. They're nice.
And it keeps it all talcum powder dry down there?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay, so
I don't want to drag this on too long because it's already gone on too long. But I am curious. Like,
there's nothing to talk about. Just like the whole year's worth of game industry.
But you made it. You saw it, people wearing it, and you just what made you decide from seeing them that you was it like a fashion thing, or did you like look up what are these people wearing and then you figured out what they are and that made you want to try
them? I mentioned them to Dermot and then Dermot said they were legit and I was like, well, Dermot is a pretty active guy,
okay,
so he probably knows what's up.
I was just wondering the jump from like you thinking these are goofy looking to you ordering them to try them like didn't make sense, but that fills it in.
Why wouldn't you, Roy, or would you maybe then someday wear a full body one including
scuba gear
your head? To keep your entire body nice and dry and also injury free.
They don't have those on Amazon. Are you
sure? Are you sure they don't?
I gotta dig a little deeper.
I see a lot on Japanese TV. I see a lot of guys in Japanese TV wearing that exact outfit.
The immediately humorous outfit. Yeah.
I mean, it's that too. But, you know,
look like Tingle.
yes. Speaking of Tingle, he was not at E3 2018. But before we get into that heavy news, I don't know, somebody played a couple games.
Right.
Who played what? There was some Octo games. There's a couple Octo games.
Yeah.
There's a hot news. Octopath Traveler, that demo came out?
Is it the
US demo or the Japanese demo?
It's both.
Yeah, okay. I played English.
Oh, okay. Talk about it. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so John and I play different characters. You can start as any of the 8 characters, because the demo is just like the first 3 hours of the game, and it carries over
to the real game. Yeah.
That's a good chunk of demo.
Yeah,
three hours with all 8 characters.
Well, you have to pick one of them. So,
you could play it again with the next character,
right? Theoretically, yeah.
That's fucked up. That's a lot of game to give away
really
for
cool.
free.
So you could pick a different character and play for 3 hours as that other character?
On a different save file, I assume.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you have to delete your save. I don't know. Neither of us tried it yet because we haven't had that much time since it came out. But
okay.
Yeah, so I played about an hour. I chose Primrose, who is the dancer character.
Okay.
And I was pretty happy with my experience with the game overall. I didn't play like the demo they put out last year, like the beta,
right,
which they've since like iterated upon.
Okay.
But yeah, I think the pacing was really good in my sequence. I think
talk about what it is.
Yeah, okay.
Like how it works.
It's basically a Super Nintendo era esque RPG. Like it's a 2D overhead, not overhead. Well, yeah, overhead. I guess 2D view. You know, RPG pixel graphics.
2.5D, right? Because it's 2D graphics, but in a 3D.
Well, they call it an HD.
I mean,
2D
it's not
game.
Really 3D though. It's literally 2D. I mean, there's 3D aspects to it, but it's not like 2.5D. No, there's not like polygonal. 2.5D is polygons.
Polygonal aspects, right?
Yeah, but there's no polygons in this, as far as I know. Are there? Is there? Or maybe there is?
I'm not sure what
the
backgrounds
are.
The textures are all 2D.
The characters are definitely just sprites. They're straight up 2D sprites. They could have come right out of a Super Nintendo game.
Right.
But it's basically like an old school style RPG. The idea is there are 8 different characters with 8 different stories, and you pick one, and then you see the story from their perspective or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and then you can recruit other ones along the way, apparently.
Maybe.
Like the stories intertwine. They haven't said exactly how, but
like, what's the battle system like? Just straight up turn-based vanilla JRPG battle system, or
it's turn-based. I can't say if it's straight up vanilla or not because I've only had in my hour of playing. There's only one battle so far for the character I chose.
Wow. Yeah, it's not quite vanilla.
It's the same. Wow.
Well, so that's like our experiences were very, very different. Like in my first hour, I've been through like 30 battles and I've leveled up several times.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure that developer behind this is the same team that made the Bravely Default series?
Well, that's what people thought, but it's not.
The producer is the same. It's made by Dune Masano. It's his game, but it's being made by Acquire.
Yeah,
actually.
The developers are Acquire.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Okay.
Well,
the reason I say this is because
The design staff are the same, I think.
Okay.
But the actual dudes doing the grunt work are different.
Okay. Well,
shares aspects.
Right.
Okay.
The battle system has like a Brave-esque system in it where you can like
do multiple turns at once, right?
Yeah, over time, and then like take 3 turns at once.
Okay,
so that's a key component.
Right. Yeah, And that game had a really good battle system, really default. That was like its one really strong point. That was
the
best part point.
Of the
game.
So how was the story? I mean, other stuff. Just like talk
yeah,
about
how was
it.
Yours, John?
So I chose, I think her name's Ophelia. She's like the cleric girl because it said that her, you know, when you start, it's got this nice map screen and you could jump around between the characters and it says a little bit about their story and like what you might be getting into. And hers was like in the snow or something. And I just thought I would want to see what that looks like in these graphics. So I chose her thing. And it's a lot of story early on. The game is not fully voiced, but there's a lot of voice acting in it.
How is it?
It's not. I don't like it that much, but I mean, you can switch to Japanese voices, or you can turn the volume down. I mean, it's not
cool.
Like
you can switch.
I
to
mean,
Japanese
the only. Writing's actually pretty. The writing's fine. Like, the game itself looks very polished. The font is really nice. Like everything about it looks very much like old school Square. It's just that the VO is a little like. Typical sort of VO in these kind of games where it's like I overacted and kind of like you know, like there's a small boy in mine. It sounded like a 45-year-old guy like doing a small boy's voice. But yeah, like so far it's like pretty touching story and like the, you know, the visuals are gorgeous. I just think the game is super beautiful. Music is really good. Like it very much feels like what I, you know, if Super Nintendo RPGs didn't switch to 3D and just sort of kept evolving, that's kind of what it feels like to me.
Okay,
and I love Super Nintendo RPGs, so I think if you were a fan of those kind of games like Chrono Trigger or like, you know, those old school Super Nintendo
joints.
Some of
the sprites definitely were like, reminded me of some of the better like Final Fantasy III.
I mean, there's a lot of it in general that's like just reminiscent of Saga 3 specifically, like the battle, the enemy art seems very similar, and also just like selecting multiple characters is like that's always been a shtick in the Saga series and seeing them intertwine. So I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of inspiration from there, which is good.
Right.
Yeah. It's very, it's, and I mean, it's.
So more excited ever having played the demo than before?
I am.
Absolutely.
I played the demo thinking, either I might like this or it might be garbage, but it's definitely, I'm definitely buying it and playing it.
Oh,
like,
that's
it's,
cool.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was kind of on the fence as well. Like, I'll just wait and see, like, how it reviews or something like that.
For, you know, when you work in localization, games like this are tough to play sometimes because you'll get caught up on little things that would have bugged you as a person. But so far, like, the only thing that's really bugging me is the voices, and that's not the end of the world because you can ignore those or you can switch them.
When is that out? It's out very soon.
Soon.
Right?
Here in Japan, I think it's coming out in July, actually.
I think it's July 16th.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's out in, like, a month, so.
Yeah.
And the other Octo game.
Yes, the Octo expansion is Splatoon 2.
There you go. Is that that amazing
soundtrack?
Music that they played in the trailer? The Splatoon 2
DLC. I like it.
DLC.
I like it. It's good music.
I'm just my memory of it. It's just like, it sounded like something getting put in a blender.
I mean, what's your Splatoon experience, Mark?
What do you
like,
mean?
Have you played much of it?
No. I played some of the first, didn't really like it, and that's about it. Like, I'm interested in it. I, like, respect it as an idea. But, like,
Same. Personally,
I just... I like actual shooter games maybe too much. Or I played too many of those and don't need kind of the more, like... Well, I wouldn't say it's watered down. I don't mean to insult it at all.
It's just a different approach.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. The Octo expansion is very good. It's the best that single player has been in Splatoon.
Okay.
I think the Splatoon 2 main campaign was a step back from the first one, or at least it didn't feel as fresh because they recycled a lot of the same ideas and the levels were too long.
Fresh, I get it. I get it. Squid jokes. You've been playing a lot of that game.
Sure have.
Go on.
No, but these ones, they're more bite-sized. They, you know, you can complete each challenge and
bite,
like,
squids bite. I get it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. May as well just move on at this point.
But
power through it, Dermot.
Yeah. Focus, go. Gotta learn to take this shit, man.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, I've had a thing that's been bothering me.
Please.
In the original video for the Octo expansion.
Let me take you back to it. Let's set the mood here.
And then there's a child. She looks like she's 12 or something, and her pants are riding really low. I was just concerned.
Whoa,
I felt like I was her dad. Like, you can see these, like,
they're
little Octo girls walking through train cars, and their pants are down way too low, and I'm like,
wow.
Can somebody please?
I did not notice. I feel like I need to watch it.
I don't think that happened.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
No, it happened. I was very distressed.
She needs those
I was very distressed.
Roy
somebody
like
needs to look out for her.
The Biggie and the Tupac, you mean that when they were walking through and she like nodded at the Biggie squids and stuff?
It's like there's this child who has way too much like sway in her hips and her pants are too low, and
Swagger.
I just didn't feel comfortable with it.
Wow.
It's definitely
Dermot, have you been turned on much during your playing of Octo?
You're attracted to the game for some reason.
Not the music, we know that.
I think it might be a generational thing. You know?
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
It's the thing you're hearing. Your young ears are hearing all these amazing tones.
Yeah. But it's funny. Just, like,
I can decipher the words.
It's like
the
dog sound thing.
I mean, Lily sounds like a car wreck put through like a blender on a broken ass old tape recorder.
But
to
it's
us.
Funny that literally the dissenters are saying, I don't like the music, and they wear their pants too low.
The pants too low thing. Yeah. That part I can't be on board with, actually. But.
I guess what I was getting at is, can you still dress up your Squid Kid in all sorts of sick fashions to get her out of those pants and into something respectable?
So she's not a she or he, because you can choose. She's not a Squid Kid. She's an Octoling.
So she's an Octo-kid, I'm sorry.
Please, yes. Use the correct terminology.
So finishing the DLC like gives you the opportunity to use that Octoling in multiplayer, which you can't do otherwise.
Oh, I see.
So like I've been playing I play online every night, so it's been fun to see like the Octo people start showing up more and more.
How much can you like differentiate them? Because like what you saw in the trailer was the girl with the Octo hair.
Yeah.
So you can actually like
dress
that up
those
enough
are the bad
so that
guys
it's
or something. The, what is
in
the deal?
First Splatoon? They were the bad guys, and now I haven't finished the DLC, but it seems like it's a little more nebulous. At this
point. Okay.
So like after you complete it, you can then customize them to a degree where it's not just everybody playing the same Octo girl or Octo boy.
Oh no! Once you complete it, you can use that as like your avatar. So you can give them all the same clothes. The hairstyles are different, so that's how you differentiate.
And change like faces and stuff.
And then the icons on the map are different, too.
Okay, sure.
So you're feeling the single player a lot in this
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's perfect for Switch.
One cool thing that Dermot told me that you can do is apparently there's levels that have challenges where it's like, clear this level entirely using this one like special thing.
Mm. Yeah, like, that's for instance, every level is like that.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So like one example you gave me that sounded cool was like there's this one power-up where you are temporarily in a hamster ball, and you can use it to like squash other players, but it will have you do the whole level in that hamster ball. Okay. So it's kind of like a fun way to train yourself.
It's an optional extra side thing, or that's the only way you complete.
Well,
the
Octo expansion is meant to be for like hardcore experienced players. So like all the challenges are pretty difficult. So like one will be, here's this really obscure weapon, and now go kill all these enemies without getting killed.
Okay.
Or one will be like, here's no weapon and don't get hit once.
Okay.
You know? Cool. Or yeah. So it's stuff like
I
that.
I see. So it's like a remix. It's like a, like, this is a very old reference, but like Metal Gear VR missions, where it's like taking all the pieces that already exist and then just remixing it and making challenges? Or is there actual like new mechanics, new...
As far as I've seen, there aren't any new mechanics.
Interesting.
But
it's
all of the mechanics in different contexts.
Okay. So it's for super players.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was this a paid DLC thing, or was this part of the season pass?
No, it's $20.
So it is paid then?
Yeah. Okay. It's the only piece of paid Splatoon 2 DLC. Okay. They've never had paid DLC.
Oh, the rest has been free.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there's a story that you're following through this thing, too?
Yeah. You're in, like, an underground trainway.
Yeah.
And
she's looking for her belt, right? She lost her belt.
You're on the way.
Boom.
You're on the way to like the promised land, which is like apparently the Inkling utopia.
All right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm a few hours in, but I'm still in the trainway. So all I can't tell you past that.
Okay. All
right. Yeah.
But like it's good time. Or it's interesting or like.
No, it's super great.
Give me a value thing on the story.
A+.
Okay.
Wow.
Right.
A+.
Wow.
Splatoon 2, there it goes. Yeah.
Why, though? Why?
I don't know.
What's
a lot
good
of people,
about it?
A lot of people love that shit, man.
People like
Splatoon. No, I'm not like doubting it. I'm just saying, like, what's good about it? The characters are good, or it's a story, or like.
I think
what?
It's a challenge for super players, and if you're a super player, you're going to get the most out of that experience, just in general.
Right.
So, like, if you're somebody who's already way into Splatoon.
Why are you answering for Dermot? You didn't even play it.
No. I want this girl to find some clothes, Mark.
That's what it comes down to.
I need Dermot to get on it.
All right. Other Nintendo stuff came out, I guess. People were playing Donkey Kong.
Yes. They finally released it.
Mm. Finally.
Donkey Kong arcade game.
That one.
Yeah.
And they have like the three different ROMs in it. One is like the first unplayable Japanese version that's shit. And then the second one is
I don't know what's unplayable about it. I played through it. It seemed normal, but I mean something's different about it apparently. I think it's buggy or something, but like they have the original version and then they have the like fixed version, and then they have the
US
international
version. Yeah.
Oh, I really want to know what was different about that.
I don't actually know for sure, but this is the first time that... Well, the first time that Donkey Kong's arcade game has ever been sold separately.
Yes.
I guess apparently it was unlockable in Donkey Kong 64, on N64. Hmm.
Okay.
But other than that, they've never had the arcade game out, because... Because
it was made by not Nintendo.
Assumed,
right.
Well... Yeah. It was made in collaboration with Ikegami.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that part is true. Like, they programmed the game, but I guess there was some legal dispute about it that was settled in, like, 1991. Mm. And ever since then,
you never saw or heard much about the original Donkey Kong arcade game, you know, showing up. And so either that was, maybe they just decided, okay, we don't have to be stubborn about this anymore, or maybe they arranged a licensing agreement, whatever
maybe
happened.
People died.
It could be. But it's out, and, you know, it's cool. You could turn
the... Did you play it in Tate mode?
I didn't, but you can, which is awesome. Yeah.
But more interesting than that is, like, during that same stream right after, I was like, hey, we're also going to put out Sky Skipper.
This is amazing. Yeah, this is really cool.
It was like an unreleased arcade game.
I think it was released
in
Japan.
It was really small quantities.
They only made, like, 10 of them in America. Yeah. And so... Or maybe it was only for America. I don't know the whole story, but basically Sky Skipper, they only made 10 of them in America, and they literally... Don James, who's like still works at Nintendo since that era.
That's crazy that he's
got
still
on
works
and
at
talked
Nintendo.
About it on the Treehouse thing, but he basically like said they like Japan like called them and asked them to like they have like one cabinet at NOA.
Right. It's
like,
a dump
literally
it,
yeah. get the ROMs out so they could dump it and make this thing for Switch. So like it's like and it had so it's like going to have the actual US version which is extremely rare and very cool.
Doesn't look like a great game, but man, that's neat.
Yeah,
it's a neat
exactly.
piece of history.
It's history.
Yeah,
it's nice that they're
else.
I mean they have arcade
art,
history
and the art was drawn by Miyamoto apparently.
That's right. He drew the cabinet art and confirmed it at E3.
What kind of game is it?
It's a shooting game. It reminded me of like Sky Kid or something, maybe like
Time Pilot.
You drop bombs on shit. Like it just seemed.
Mr. U is the name of the main character, which I thought was pretty funny. Like Y-O-U.
Right. That was the interesting thing about Donkey Kong I found. So when they released the arcade game, they put out a bunch of the PR stuff in Japan, and like I guess Pauline was just called Lady. In Japan, yeah.
Mm. I wish they would. With
Pauline,
these...
apparently, the story was that Don James guy, that's his wife's name.
Yeah, so when it came out in America, they gave her a proper name,
Pauline,
just like
yeah.
Mario got a name after the NOA landlord
or
whatever.
Yeah. So he named it after his wife.
I wish they would take this opportunity, like especially Donkey Kong, where it hasn't been released in so long, and this Sky Kid is like, or what's
Sky
called?
Skipper.
Sky Skipper. Like, it's cool that they did the Treehouse Live thing or whatever, but like, make a, you know. Documentary or put like some of the like make it a like a
make
an
event
make it like a collector's edition maybe. Type thing that has like the artwork with it or you know some of the stuff that they did with the Mega Man collection or really like Criterion collection
like a
shit,
Nintendo's
you know?
Arcade history kind of like
yeah like,
you know also
like
I complain about this on Twitter too and okay maybe this is a small thing but like it really bugs me too that NOA doesn't seem to localize the hamster like arcade things of Nintendo games so like you get like some shitty text in those games when they should be polished
menus
to hell
stuff,
it's like we will literally do it for you for free. Just give it to us. Like, it deserves better. Like,
you heard it here first.
I'm not kidding. Send them all
free,
to me. We'll fix them all and patch them all. Like, they're 30 minutes to make that not look like garbage from, like, that was drawn, like, written in English by a Japanese guy. Like, it's not that hard. So.
Right. I have noticed that in some of the other hamster games. So that's, these are hamster done things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike Micah, who's a, runs Backbone and is a kind of
from
arcade, he's a Donkey Kong in particular specialist. He's the guy who made the Pauline version of Donkey Kong.
That's
so cool.
Did comment that the sound of Mario's footsteps is fucked up. So like they should also, and he offered to fix
kidding.
It for free. Yeah, like he played an audio clip of like how it's supposed to sound.
Yeah,
in the Switch version, every step that Mario takes sounds the same.
Yeah.
But in the original arcade version, like his sound sort of changed up. Like as he's like and like that was actually he even pointed out. Mike pointed out that was a thing that was like you know that was a technique that was kind of copied and sort of used in lots of other games because it was very innovative at the time.
Right.
It's not in the Switch version, so they do need to fix that.
Crazy.
But
sad that it's not totally perfect. I mean, I do know how hard it is sometimes to get some of those like weird little things exactly perfect. But what else? Captain Toad.
Free demo. Played through that last night.
Free demo.
There's a in Japan anyway. I don't know if it's in the U.S. or not.
Played on Switch.
The Switch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I always wanted to play that. I have it on Wii U, but it's Wii U, so I didn't play it. So
I played it a little bit. On
happy
Wii U.
That it's on a system that I actually care about. It played the demo. 3 levels. It's great. I can't wait. I will play through it. I love action puzzle, you know, platformer type things.
It is pretty fun. I got a little. I don't know. I mean, I didn't get like actively bored with it, but it was one of those games that I played. A couple days and then just put down and never pick back up. It wasn't kind of like, oh god, I have to go back and play that.
Sure.
So I have a tough time like with the backlog and stuff I have playing it. But
yeah.
But if you liked those levels, where did it like
started
it
in Super Mario 3D
World?
It was like
3D
World. Yeah.
So did you like those?
I love those. Yeah, I did all of them. Like it's basically a good you know time waster. It's not like it's not one of those games that you're like dying to go back to, but it's one of those games where if you want to kill some time, it's super enjoyable to play.
And the later
to
ones
get
are,
all
the later ones are
stuff.
Tricky.
Yeah.
Like, I played through it on Wii U and it was a good.
Oh,
time.
Really?
It has multiple quests.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know I finished the first quest and then there was another one. I was like, I think I'm good.
Because Zelda's second quest should be the same levels.
I think it's
remixed,
like
or?
you switch characters. I'm not going to say much more than that. Oh. But it's like, you get the first ending, and then there's like, oh, actually, like every Mario game does. Like, you get the ending, yeah, and there's a whole lot more game.
That makes sense.
At that point, I was like, I think I'm good for now. But yeah, no, it was a fun time.
Right on.
I assume it's the exact same thing.
It looks like it, yeah. And,
yeah.
And showed us videotaped the 3DS version, which is like the same thing, too, to the point where like both screens show the same footage.
That's kind of weird.
Give one of them a hat or something. Like, you know what I mean?
I was trying to think if there was anything to that game, though, that you would use the second screen for.
Probably not.
There's touchscreen integration in that for some levels.
But that's on the Switch, too, though. I mean, you still do that. Right. Like, you touch like items in the background, and like they'll shift the thing up or down as part of the puzzles.
Right,
whatever.
Yeah.
But you don't. It's not like you. Yeah. It's. I guess maybe that's why they did it that way. I don't know. But like, I would have thought it would be cool. Like, have a static, because that game you rotate the camera as part of the gameplay to like see. So it'd be cool if like the bottom screen stayed static, or you could keep it static, and then you could rotate the top. You could get like two views of the same
Mario
thing.
Mario 64 do that on the DS.
I don't know. I didn't play the DS version.
No, the DS version. The DS. Yeah, it was an overview map, so you could just like see where your character was on like a 2D version of the map.
Completely
fucking pointless. Yeah.
Playing Mario 64 with the D-pad is like you should go to jail for that. Like that is just terrible.
Yeah. Anything else? You still playing Dark Souls Remastered?
I finished it.
You did. Woo! Yep. You defeated. You won.
Correct. Gwen is dead now. And then I started playing it again.
You did?
Yeah.
New game.
Naturally. I'm almost... It's New Game Plus, yeah. It's just like you keep doing New Game Plus indefinitely.
Right.
And then I'm almost done again.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. Yeah. Where do you get all this free time?
I don't. I just played... So I checked my clear time after I finished it. Like, I beat it in like 16 hours, so...
Jesus. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it was my weekend, but, you know, I made good time on that weekend.
God damn. Well, we have a
Dark Souls is fun
of news.
Yeah, no, E3.
Dark Souls is fun. Yeah, we have a ton of E3 news, a lot of From stuff. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we will dive into a lot of news. So stick around. We are back with the news.
So, Mark, let's talk more about the World Cup, shall we?
Counterattack.
Yes, good. So,
I don't get it. Am I supposed to be? I'm not sure what you're after here. Am I supposed to be embarrassed that I don't know shit about soccer? Because
no, that's what I want.
I just want you
to enjoy it.
Yeah, like if anything, it backfired on you. You're like, oh, what? And I'm like, do I give a fuck about the USA? No. And you're like, oh, well, gotcha, because they weren't in the World Cup.
Well, I'm excited because I'm going to get to watch a Korea match in a Korean hub. That's my like plan number one.
They have a hub there?
Whatever the equivalent is.
Gong! Where's the fucking news jingle, please? I don't know how the fuck this happened, but all I want is the goddamn news jingle. Can you give me the news jingle?
It's going to be called like the Hab or something. I just know.
This is the news.
All right, well, okay. You're trying.
It was worth the wait, wasn't it?
I mean, technically, you fulfilled all the requirements. All right.
Thank you.
I love that this was what was on the top of the news printouts, by the way.
This is random.
I said that the priority...
Tales of Vesperia.
Amazing.
To Xbox
Amazing
One
game.
Later this year. Well localized.
That's right. Is it only Xbox One? It's not PS4?
I think it might...
It's everything. Yeah.
Interesting. This was probably just written during the Xbox conference.
Makes sense.
They probably didn't know. It also kind of tells you, like, really, this makes the cut, guys? Like, Xbox conference? Like, I know you wanted to, like, list 50 games or whatever, but, like...
Hey.
They brought it a little bit this
year. I mean,
Xbox was
pretty good this year.
They brought it best of anyone.
What are you talking... Like, good measured on what degree?
Everybody else did terribly. We're grading on a curve.
No.
What...
I think only Nintendo did terribly.
Exclusive
what?
Games.
Oh, my goodness.
No, they were all exclusive.
We'll get to all of them.
This is going to be a good one, I can tell.
What Xbox exclusive games are you excited to play this year?
Hold on.
Go.
Hold
Graham,
on.
Go.
Buddy. What I'm saying
I saw Cyberpunk, it said Xbox beforehand. They had a great show. Cyberpunk goes to an Xbox game.
I'm just talking about conferences.
Yes.
Of people like who brought it for a conference.
Yeah.
Microsoft had more things that were exciting that people probably were interested to see. Whether or not it's exclusive to their thing, let's just put that aside for now because nothing is exclusive to Xbox.
That's the whole point. The first place you see a trailer doesn't matter. It's who has the games that you're going to want to play, right?
It's about, if you are a spectator at home for E3, it's about who has the most exciting conference.
The showmanship.
Who keeps you enthralled when you're watching it?
Right.
Microsoft sadly did the best by virtue of everybody else being dog shit.
It was much better than last year. I mean, I'm not even saying it was necessarily great or anything, but it was a lot better.
They
than
were
last
all
year.
Bad, but this one was the least bad.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. So we're using different criteria. I think
obviously, if you're going exclusives, then yes, Microsoft had nothing. They were the worst.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, measured from the fact of like, okay, what is going to, as somebody who owned an Xbox One, and might rebuy one, is looking for a reason or an excuse to buy one. I will say that that Halo Infinite is something that I think, I don't, it's hard to tell exactly what the game is.
They didn't show anything about
anything,
it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm assuming that it is something like I talked about that I wanted to see from the pre-E3 show, from the hype train episode. I know a couple people like tweeted me saying like, oh, I think this is it. I think this is a more like persistent world thing, but on the other hand, it looks like you're the Master Chief in the game.
Yeah,
so.
Unless everybody are the Master's Chief.
Yeah, Master's Chief, yeah. Run amok.
It's a battle royale game, I'm telling you.
100 Marios, except with Master Chief.
Yeah.
So there was that. Well, here.
Are we just going to get back to Tales of Vesperia? First of all, I think the reason I'm not a huge Tales of fan, but from what I understand, this has all of the content from the remastered version on PS3 that never made it to America.
That's true.
That's a big
deal. If you've never played it in the US, this has new content for you.
Uh-huh.
Also, this is the Tales game where the main character just straight up fucking murders people. That's pretty cool.
He's, what's his face from Last of Us? Joel?
Yeah, he's Joel.
Joel.
Really?
Yeah. This is
just with his dog wolf thing instead of the,
instead of a little
basically.
Girl.
Yeah.
How is he Joel?
What's his name?
No way!
Yeah, man.
Oh, Troy Baker.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I'm interested.
We get all the good actors before they get big.
Yeah.
We all go back and look at all old A4 games, and you'll find everybody who's super
famous
now.
I was a baby,
now.
You know.
We got him first. We got the eye, Dermot. The eye.
So, and the ear, I think.
That too. The ear.
Yeah. So that's coming. Gears of War. Oh God, that Funko Pop one. Holy fucking shit! Wow.
Roy did a nice.
I drew a little man throwing up on that piece of paper. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay, there we go. And the word adorable is also like underlined.
That's right.
Sarcastically, I can tell by the underline. Yeah, that was a surprise. Gears Tactics is a new turn-based strategy game for the PC.
Yeah, PC what? Only is weird.
Who's asking for these games?
Who do you think plays Gears?
Did Halo 2 sell? Did Halo Wars 2 sell that well? Maybe.
No.
Maybe it did.
Probably not.
Halo Infinite brings the series back to PC, so that's another angle on that. So one less reason to buy it, but also in keeping with Microsoft's, you know, philosophy, stated philosophy of everything on PC. Battletoads.
That's kind of neat.
Coming back to Xbox.
This is, why is this, it not Rare, though? Rare made Battletoads.
Who cares? Did it say who it was?
It's somebody who has never made anything you've heard of. But I just think it's neat that like the meme is real now. After years of people being like, oh, where's Battletoads? Here's the
3-player couch co-op, 4K hand-drawn, 2.5D graphics. That's kind of
That doesn't
weird.
Make much sense, but okay.
And Brock, I bet you somewhere there's a PowerPoint, a Microsoft internal PowerPoint that has Cuphead mentioned in it, talking about bringing Battletoads back.
Yeah,
and how it's going to be huge.
But I like that it was very much. I don't know if anybody even watching the conference, like the people in, like the way they presented it was, here is the wall that you smash against in the one speeder bike level. It's like, how many people actually understand what you're showing?
I get that reference. I got that reference. There's not, so this is all the stuff from the Microsoft conference, but I guess
we're all the exclusive stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're listing out the exclusive stuff.
Yeah,
so
Battletoads,
and let us note that is not much at all.
Battletoads.
You hear that? You hear that paper?
Yeah, that's not a thick thing of paper. You can actually hear me flap it. I was surprised at how, I think two things were active. The narrative always wants to change, right? So if somebody's had a good show many years and they have a show that's not quite as good, but still better than anybody else, it's like, oh, they're slipping. They're not going down. And if somebody had a bad show for a number of years and kind of does a little bit better, then
they're back
like,
on top.
Oh, yep, they had that was a surprising thing. I will say, you know, very savvy move of Microsoft to get, and I don't know how they got it or if it's indicative of anything. They didn't talk about any exclusivity or features or anything, but Cyberpunk 2077, which was far and away, not even close, the game of like being at the show, especially, I'm sure the coverage reflected it, but that everybody was fucking would not shut up about.
For sure.
Having that at their conference was a good move, and I guarantee now people are jockeying for like exclusive DLC or anything, like any kind of, you know, Call of Duty-esque platform.
That's why, in terms of a conference, it was a very well put together thing.
Didn't they also have Devil May Cry 5?
They had Devil May Cry 5, and they had Sekiro. Like, they had the new From Software game.
Yeah, and they had the From Software, Sekiro game. That's true. So let's talk about those thoughts. Graham, you're probably the most interested in both of those two games. Devil May Cry 5.
Devil May Cry 5, yeah, okay, super cool. Devil May Cry 5, I was confused.
You are drinking
double mango
strong zero.
Just came out yesterday.
9% alcohol.
So Devil May Cry 5, it was very confusing at first, the trailer, because I did not recognize who that was.
Same.
I thought that was the revival Dante from
Dante,
the other game.
Yeah, I was like,
oh, that's DMC Dante.
Yeah, I thought that's DMC Dante.
That's what Dante looks like now, I guess.
Yeah, except that ended up being Nero.
Right.
Yeah. And I
see, Dante is now old Dante, who shows up at the end of the trailer.
On the motorbike. But I recognized the Devilbringer first, and I still didn't get that it was Nero. Like, he was doing Devilbringer.
You know way more than I
do. The Devilbringer is the thing that Nero had where he has, like, the demon arm that can bring enemies to him, or if they're too big, he will go to them.
Okay.
So I saw the Demonbringer mechanic being used in the video, and I still didn't get that it was Nero. Because who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
And at the end, it's like, oh, okay, it all came together. But visually, I don't like anything of what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
It all just seemed like kind of hideous. The art style doesn't work for me in any way.
Didn't
but
look like
gameplay
Devil
wise,
May Cry art to you?
No, because Devil May Cry 4, like Devil May Cry in general, has always been a little bit more on like I don't want to see the anime side, but it's always been very stylized. I'm going to say where this is more on the
realistic. Okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
Which I mean, that's fine in its own way. It's not what I want in particular, but the gameplay stuff looked hot as hell, and the way like the arm is doing all this different shit.
Right,
he's taking off the arm and riding like a skateboard. Like I don't know what's going on there, but it seems hot. So I'm into that.
Okay. Speaking of the arm, that's a nice segue into Sekiro.
Sekiro, okay, so this dude lost his arm, I guess. And now he's got this fucking other, like, robot arm. It reminded me of Dororo in a lot of ways. This seems like a very big departure from Souls. It's probably not what people are expecting from that. It seems more like a straightforward action game.
Well, you say that. I still very clearly saw shades of Souls-y, Bloodborne-y enemies. I mean, there were scenes where I was like, that could be
a Souls
enemy.
A
straight up Bloodborne boss.
Like, I'm talking about right more there. Like the philosophical approach that they're taking to it. Like, we didn't know this from the trailer, but like afterwards in a Famitsu interview and stuff, he's like, there's no leveling. Like, there's no customizing your character. You just are this dude.
Oh, okay. Well, talk more about what came out from the
trailer.
From the Famitsu interview, because most people probably seen the trailer. A lot of people might not have.
And like, you had this guy lost his arm. You can see like the world seems to be open now. Like, you've got your grappling mechanic, basically like his arm that has been lopped off is also just like a grappling hook.
Yeah.
So you can traverse the world in that way now.
Right.
But in the Famitsu interview, he was talking about the ways that it's different from the Souls series.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, one, you can't customize your character. You just are a person in this world now.
I see.
Which is a pretty big departure in
that
and of itself.
That is a big change,
Which I thought kind of was the direction they were heading in with Bloodborne. Because honestly, like, you could do a lot of things with your characters, but none of them were like ultimately...
You didn't have builds.
You didn't really have builds.
It was more of different weapons.
Yeah. And the weapons, I mean, basically you had like some base stats that you wanted to put things in, and if you wanted like a trick build where you're doing magic for whatever reason, you could do that.
Yeah.
But you were basically like approaching the game in a similar way, no matter which weapon you were using.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious.
It was the moveset that was different, but...
Right. I'm kind of curious about the weapons, actually. Like, it kind of seems to me like...
You might have a sword.
Yeah,
really?
And to me...
The trailer didn't show a bunch
of
different weapons.
No, you just had a sword. You have a sword in your arm, and maybe they could do other fun stuff with the arm.
Right.
But it seems like you might just be, like, a samurai, and you have a sword.
Yeah.
Right.
The combat seemed, like, super fast, and, like, it was hard for me to parse it watching it, to, like,
imagine...
It seems
imagine. Like there might be a really big emphasis on, like, parries now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see a whole lot of, like, dodging around. There was no, like, the Souls roll, where, like, you spend most
it's
of the time
It's funny
on
the that
ground.
They would that they would simplify the game in one way, where they're like, let's take out all the character building stuff, but then make it harder for the action.
See, but, like, one thing that they did is that you come back from the dead now. Yeah. It seems like maybe you just get one gimme, which is why it's Shadows Die Twice.
I was wondering if that was the mechanic.
They mentioned in the interview that you just come back to life if you die, and maybe that's just a way that they give you like a mulligan.
But there's no risk-reward thing like a Souls game where you drop stuff that you then have to
get
back.
Not that we know of.
We don't know yet.
Okay, they didn't talk about that?
And we know that they still have like a recovery mechanic. Instead of Estus, now you have like regular straight-up sake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have like sake. So maybe you like refill it at the 7-Eleven, like you get some straws or whatever. So maybe that's what they're doing now.
But it would be, and this might just be imposing like the obvious thoughts from the outside, but it would be interesting if Activision's take, I mean, Activision's publishing.
Activision is publishing, and what Miyazaki said in the interview is that they have been giving a lot of feedback throughout the process.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, From Software has final say on all of it.
Sure.
But they are still taking some of that advice.
So it would be interesting if just the whole genesis of the idea of this was Activision thinking like, hey, these Soul games are great and they're popular, but they're not Activision level popular.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not 20 million copies or whatever. And maybe what they see in it is, because Activision doesn't get out of bed in the morning these days, except unless it's like a huge, huge franchise. Maybe what they see is like, it's just too complicated. It's too deep. Let's make a more arcadey version of that that still has what's pure. But then again, I mean, the game is called Sekiro.
Which is
kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, yeah, I wonder if the localizer just gave up or something.
And this has to be, everybody thought it was Tenchu. This has to be what everybody thought was Tenchu.
He said, actually, in that same Famitsu interview that the game started as a Tenchu game.
Oh, okay, he did.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Yeah, it was originally, but since that game has been handled by so many different developers, it just seemed like it would be easier and make more sense to just make a new game. Because otherwise, if you're calling it Tenchu, you have a lot of different things.
Sure.
Like expectations from different people, too,
But I'm totally still surprised they didn't do that, because, I mean, it's an established IP. It's a chance and a time to reinvent it, to basically reboot it. Like,
but I mean, if you're like,
it has name recognition,
sure. But if you're a creative,
you can pronounce that as a Westerner. I mean, it took me like 3 days to remember that, and it was only when I learned like what the meaning was, the Japanese thing, that I actually can now even remember it. But it does not roll off the tongue to somebody that doesn't speak any Japanese at all, and it's kind of hard to remember.
Sure, but I mean, if you're looking at it from a creative standpoint, if you have this thing that has this weird disparate legacy with different developers, like, you could try to make a new thing in that, or you could just make a new thing and not have to live up to whatever people expect it
to be. But from a creative standpoint, from a business standpoint,
I don't think
I think from a business standpoint, it might be smart, because you're talking about Activision, right? Like, what percentage of Activision's pie actually knows what Tenchu is and cares about it and wants to buy it again?
One thing about From Software...
A lot more than know what the fuck Sekiro is.
Well, no, for From Software, I'm going to disagree that it's not Activision's call, because From Software always self-publishes in Japan and they look for partners overseas.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not Activision telling them this is what you do for your game. It's From Software's like, we're going to make a thing for Japan, and we want somebody to help.
That's how it has been in the past. It doesn't mean it necessarily has to be that way this time. It could be.
I assume it will be. Now my turn to correct you. I'm going to be very surprised if in a contract with Activision they're like, yeah, call it whatever the fuck you want. We're gonna keep that name for America. Like, I'm sure Activision has the say of what the thing is called in their territory.
I'm sure, like, they probably just clocked out. Like, whatever.
I mean, be fair, too, though, like, Tenchu, I mean, it is easy to remember, and it almost sounds cute. Like, an American could say Tenchu, no problem. It's
right,
like Pikachu.
But my question is more like, do people really like Tenchu? I missed the boat on this.
There was a period where Tenchu was like amazing, but it was very brief.
You said like 20 million.
When you were very young, Ryan. Yeah. When you were very little,
Everybody was into Tenchu?
I mean, there was a hot minute.
I played it on PS1. It was like grim. That was the grim, dark
game
of the day.
It might be the type of thing where like enough time has passed, just put that horse out to pasture.
Yeah, it's all relative, though. It's like compared to what do you get and lose from using it? Anyway, we don't have to get that deep down that.
Well, we talked about that, and we talked about Devil May Cry. We didn't even talk about Cyberpunk, though.
Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit more about Sekiro, though, before we move on. I will say I was a little, like, the From games graphics are not everything. Even so, I was a little disappointed. I was kind of hoping, you know, after the kind of cut their teeth on Bloodborne, like,
yeah, and Dark Souls 3 looked amazing,
they would do a current gen game that would actually be like
where I stand on that is that you can't do all that much with that aesthetic if you're in that time period doing that thing.
I don't know
if there's a whole,
the aesthetic
lot.
Is kind of the other thing, like, you could have told me that is a Koei Tecmo game The character designs did
not distinct. It's not
look
distinct.
Great to me either. Like nothing really like got me excited. I know the gameplay is going to be there.
Yeah,
I know it's going to be amazing.
Be best in class,
But I was a little
no, I agree.
Underwhelmed.
I agree. It was the same with Neo. It was like, this is a fun game to play, but holy shit, everything looks terrible.
Right.
Everything looks terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I felt a little...
I feel like that about the trinity of samurai games that we saw, which also I forget the name of
Tsushima.
All of them. Yeah.
Ghost of Tsushima. One.
Yeah. All of them are very similar and kind of ugly and forgettable. Like one of the Tsushima
one. Did you think Tsushima was ugly?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When those bright red leaves were falling off that tree for eternity.
It looked a little like too hyper real, like to the point of fake, right? It was like crazy sunset, crazy bright leaves.
Yeah.
It looked like a plastic.
Forgetting how trees work, like this, apparently this tree just never runs out of leaves.
Yes.
Like it'll just keep going as much as you want.
But on the other hand, I will say, like the start of that demo when you're on a horse and just going through the wheat fields, like that looked amazing.
Yeah.
Like technically and aesthetically, I think amazing.
Kind of samey.
No,
same as what? It was like a solid minute of like grass moving out of the way of your horse. It's like, all right, I get it. That's what I think. Like what Graham's saying, like, is it just going to be a whole lot of those fields?
That's what,
you know what I mean.
The
like,
Wild is,
no, it's an open world game. You just you got to spend some time in fields and like the technical graphics. I will give you like aspects of the aesthetics, but also like at the end when the flaming arrows are coming in and lighting shit on fire, like. That is pretty impressive, like technical chop wise, like very, very technically impressive. Where like Sekiro is kind of like,
so you're gonna have this great. You can pick between this game that looks all right and probably plays like shit, or Sekiro, which plays great and doesn't look all that good.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I'll give Sucker Punch the benefit of the doubt. I wouldn't
like,
say their games play
like
shit.
Batman again. It's gonna be. It's like it's. They just like really stock standard action game is what it's gonna be because that's just what they make. Or you can have like a super high octane fucking kick ass experience with Sekiro. I clearly have picked a team already.
Right. Well, so let's see. The third game, Neo 2.
Right.
Is that what
that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Which conference was that at?
That was at Sony.
That was at Sony. Yeah.
Yeah. That was just a CG
Neo 2,
kind of trailer.
It was going to happen.
Yep. That game sold like
a
fucking
lot.
Hotcakes. So.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
It's a quick announcement though. Since
yeah.
The first game came out.
It'd be really funny if that ends up being the best of the three. To me, anyway.
They got to get out on current gen, I think. So, like, if this is the first CG announcement, then next year they show gameplay. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, let's dive into Sony. I guess
actually, wait.
There's we got Bethesda before.
Yeah,
that's
Bethesda.
We'll
yeah.
do them in chronological
Bethesda,
order.
Bethesda, who we totally skipped last episode, by the way.
Did we?
Yes.
No, we didn't. We talked
about
Fallout.
Oh, we watched Bethesda Live here, actually.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
we didn't talk anything about Bethesda, what we thought they were going to have at E3, or predictions, or anything. All we did was talk about that one news thing.
We failed.
Might
have mentioned that there
failed you, Bethesda
there's
fans.
Probably going to be Fallout. There's probably going
to
be Elder Scrolls.
Did you rock out to Andrew W.K. here? Were you
I couldn't find
out
any video of that. I missed that.
We
oh,
never,
really?
We never stopped
late.
Partying to Andrew W.K.
we're actually pro Andrew W.K. here in the
yeah,
office.
No, yeah. It's like
Doom Eternal. Oh, yeah. It was just, I thought it was a little misplaced in the...
Any musician always is.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I thought they were going to show... So that was, what's it called? Rage 2. I thought they would show the footage and just have that be like the live band
that
going
smarter,
on, which I thought would be kind of cool. But yeah, it just seemed weird. And also, as somebody who's been at those conferences too, like, I don't know what they expect you to do. Like, get up and fucking, like, just bang or whatever. Like,
man.
No one's going to do that.
Yeah.
And so you're going to, any crowd shot... is going to show like the
white dude
pasty
sitting.
Gaming press like sitting there like
nodding.
Can
like,
I see the next
what am
game
I
players?
To do? I mean, you're lucky if you even get them not you know anybody nodding. It's
people looking
like,
at their phones. Yeah,
it's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Like I, you know. Anyway, Doom Eternal.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Hell on Earth looks like literally. I like that idea. It was CG, so kind of hard to tell what the hell it's going to
be.
There
wasn't a lot of that at this year's E3.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot post-apocalyptic hellscapes. Not enough of it.
There was, yeah. Elder Scrolls Legends coming to Nintendo Switch and consoles. We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Prey Typhon?
Typhon Hunter, yeah.
So it's not Typhoon.
No.
It is
Typhon.
Typhon
is the enemy.
Oh, okay.
That's the enemies in the...
Those thing. Little black spider things?
They're the larger ones.
Oh,
small
all right.
ones are mimics.
Oh, wow. Somebody knows his...
I've been playing Prey recently.
Prey lore. Shit.
He's winning me over. I'm kind of...
And Wolfenstein Cyberpilot coming to VR.
These
cool
are both
to
VR.
See Bethesda still supporting VR. I don't know that I'm super excited for either of those games, but it is cool that they're still doing VR stuff. Fallout 76 now, yeah, is confirmed to be like a big multiplayer thing.
Yep.
Which, thank God, because otherwise it's like, why the fuck are you doing this game? It looks like exactly like the last game.
Yeah, I would agree.
What would be the reason for this game?
It's four times as big, apparently.
Four times as big. Which makes sense if it needs to be for a multiplayer game. But what do you think, Roy? How did the whole announcement and showing hit you for this?
Well, so when I found out it was online only, I was definitely very mixed, because to me the game, it's kind of always been like a personal journey where you like you go through this game and you meet people and you make decisions, and then decisions
there's
end up
a lot of
you.
People online who are like, what, I have to play with other people? But didn't they go to a long to great lengths
you
to
can
explain?
Do it single player
you can do it without people, but people can still, like, if they want to, they could find you and kill you, because in the map, like, when you look at the map, it shows you where everybody is on the map. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that people are upset about, because that means that you could potentially be briefed. Like, people could just, like, be like, if they're in a group of four, they could be like, all right, who are we going to fuck with now? Open up the map and be like, oh, there's this one guy up in this corner, let's go.
You can't get on a server, like, Monster Hunter or something, and just be like,
he said
you'll
never see servers. You won't know what server.
So you can't just, like, turn off wireless connection on your PS4 and play?
You can. You can always play offline. Can you play
offline? I don't think you can play offline.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But this is just initial, though. Then he explained that eventually, not at initial release, but eventually, they'll allow people to have their own servers or make, like, offline servers or things like that.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So, excited? Not?
I mean, I'm definitely going to play it.
Okay.
Because I've kind of gotten back into Fallout 4 pretty hardcore. So, like, I'm in the mode right now where I'm just like, yes, give me more Fallout.
Sure.
But it's hard to imagine it, because, like, when they showed one scene where it was, like, four guys fighting, like, just all these things on screen at once, and it just looked really chaotic, and it's not really, like, what Fallout is normally to me.
Right.
Anyway, so, and, like, Graham made a good point, too. It's, like, VATS has been a part of Fallout that's kind of, like,
how does VATS work in, like, that multiplayer environment?
I'm not sure how it's going to work. So, it's just, like, this, I have a lot of questions, and they've answered some, but I'm still a little...
Yeah,
like, I want to know a lot more.
Yeah.
I'm probably like 95% chance I'm going
to
buy it, though.
I was surprised that their introduction to, like, hey, you're going to play on the same servers with other people's was like somebody shooting a rocket launcher at you out of nowhere.
Yeah, get PK'd. That's
like,
fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun, because in the real game, you would just be dead. Like, it misses in this thing. But what do you think about the nuke thing? Explain what they showed.
So the way it works is if you play with other people, or like, within this map that's four times the size of a normal Fallout 4 map, there are these keys hidden, which if you collect all of them, they're kind of like Dragon Balls. Let's just pretend they're Dragon Balls.
Sure.
If you collect all of them...
That's your answer for everything.
Yeah.
That's your example for everything.
If you get all of them, then Goku can wish he can wish that Frieza's house would get nuked. And then when Frieza's house gets nuked, it creates this area where there's very high radiation, very dangerous enemies, but for a temporary amount of time, like, the loot there is legendary, which means it has, like, added effects that are really good. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is go into the radiation, gather as much as you can before other people go there, and, like, get out.
Kind of bonus time.
The weird thing to me is, like, up until now, Fallout's always been a game that's like, look what humanity has done. They did all of this.
Yeah.
They made super mutants. They nuked themselves. Like, this is all humanity's fault. They took technology too far. Now it's like, hey, guys, do you want to take technology too far? So it's a little strange to me.
Interesting. Interesting. Elder Scrolls 6 happening, which seemed weird. Like, you didn't need to announce this.
Yeah, we knew. We knew. Also, we knew.
It seems like more of a PR move, though. Like, this and Starlink. After announcing a game that is primarily online...
You mean Garfield? Starfield?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's for... It's to, like, reassure the existing fan base of Bethesda
games. That's what that was the theory, because I was kind of floating this around at the show. It was kind of like, why would you do that and just show a super generic, nothing to get anybody excited, just like, you might as well have said, oh, and we're making a next game
it's
on this thing.
It's funny, though, like, a lot of other publishers do this frequently. I mean, maybe they give you a little bit more.
Oh, they give you something.
Yeah. Well,
they give you something, Roy. Yeah. Like,
not
this
often.
This is weird, and also, like, back-to-back. Like, it's like, and we're doing that. It's like, whoa, like, you did not need to do both of these things. But, yeah, so Starfield, that's their big, long-rumored sci-fi game. Also, just nothing teaser. Like,
literally nothing.
Yeah.
No platforms, no date. See you later.
Nothing. I think it's in space.
I think it said next gen, maybe?
I'm calling it now.
Yeah. They did say next gen.
They did. Yeah. Next gen.
Interesting, yeah. So that's a ways off. Elder Scrolls Blades, which is kind of a weird, crazy thing that you can play on like literally any system known to man. It does say dog shit on this.
Graham helped with highlighting the notes this week.
Written on here. But you can play it. Did you try it?
No.
There's no demo on it,
is there?
No. But you can play it like on your phone. You can play it in VR. You can play it on PC. You can play it on a console. They all play with each other.
Kind of like Elder Scrolls. It's everywhere and nobody cares.
Yeah. Kind of nuts. Anyway, it was playable at the show. All right. Well, so is this the Nintendo conference here? Is that what
I'm
looking at?
That's
Sony. Right here. So
you're still not talking about Cyberpunk, or is that coming later?
We can talk about Cyberpunk. I mean, I don't know what to add. Like, I didn't see it. I don't have any special thing about it, just that I'm super
excited
about it.
It's less that I want to talk about it, more like I want to hear about it, because, like, what little I saw looked amazing. Like, the trailer was really cool, and so, everybody's talking super positively about having played it.
I did. So they had, a 50-minute demo at the show.
50?
50, 5-0.
Wow.
That they had a theater for, and that was, like not since Bioshock Infinite has there been such a hot ticket at E3. Like, people were literally tweeting pictures of the ticket, like that it was that big of a deal, and it was that sought after able to get into there. Obviously, I didn't do it. I've read some impressions from people. I think the interesting thing to me, I've watched that trailer many times now, because I think it's a super well done mood piece in the vein of a GTA trailer, very, very well done, almost cut so fast you have to watch it multiple times even to catch everything that's going on, and really just sets the tone for the world. But all of those vignettes are based on missions or story points that will happen in the game. I thought that was interesting. It's primarily a first person game.
That was surprising to me.
A lot of people were surprised, coming from the Witcher devs. That is music to my ears. I'm so happy about that. There's a lot of shooting, obviously.
I was going to say, if they're shooting, it kind of makes sense for it to be first person.
Yeah, but it is still an RPG, and it is still very story-heavy, and they were very quick to allay people's fears about that. You're still going to see your character
in
certain moments, so it's cool to customize them and blah, blah, blah. Driving is an aspect, is in that trailer. Driving is an aspect to the game. There's no date for it, but people are kind of speculating because the original. So that is a licensed game. It's kind of like Fallout was. They bought the license.
Well, Witcher was
to
the same.
Cyberpunk.
Witcher, yep.
Oh, Witcher was.
Witcher
as well.
Was a series of novels. So.
Yeah. So they bought the role playing game. Cyberpunk was 2020, which I played in fucking college. Believe it or not, it was probably the last actual pen and paper role playing game.
Wow.
I ever played. But now it's 2077. But people are speculating maybe it will come out in 2020.
I thought you were going to say 2077. I was like, that's a long time from now.
Maybe not. What else? They'd said cover was a big part of what was going on in the demo. People were blowing holes in walls. They were shooting at the main character. You can be a guy or girl. You can customize your character from the start. So you're not playing a stock-made character.
I'm really impressed with those devs. I mean, they kind of feels like to me they kind of came out of nowhere and they're from Poland, right? So they're not like your typical game dev in the sense of they're kind of doing their own thing and they're doing it so well. It's it's really impressive.
Well, I think Witcher 2 and Witcher 3 definitely got them super noticed.
But that's kind of what I mean. Cool. I mean, starting from there, coming on out. Yeah,
It is cool to see them shift gears and then such a it's just cool for a game to generate go from 0 to 60 in excitement levels that quickly. It's cool to see was definitely the story from E3, and I've already it's already one of those games you just want to Google and find out any interview or any dropped morsel on Twitter and stuff. People knew that it was coming, but
for sure.
But yeah, it was cool, and it was cool how they kind of dropped it in when you thought the Microsoft conference was going to end.
Word.
Yeah. So get hype.
Get
excited. The other end of the hype spectrum, we have the Nintendo conference or Nintendo E3 Direct, which, is never going to be the fucking cavalcade of stars, right? It's at least in the last bunch of years, it's never going to just be.
It used to be.
It's never going to be like, you don't expect it anymore to be like bam, 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 bam. Especially we knew Nintendo was going to focus on Smash, this E3. But, you know, I think there was expectations there for something Metroid Prime. There was expectations for, like, at least for me, some new IP, some surprise, some fucking something that you care about.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, you could argue Fortnite is, like, bigger and more meaningful than, you know, 90% of games that Nintendo could have announced, but it just wasn't. I mean, the fact that it's been out on other systems, and it is a big deal, but in terms of, like, E3 announcement and excitement and kind of hype generating, it just seemed like Nintendo did not show up at all. Like, they're presentation starting with what is
the Marvelous game?
Yes.
Yeah. What is Damon
X Machina? Damon X Machina looks sick, dude. Yeah,
great name. Does.
Holy shit, that game looks fucking awesome.
That was the highlight.
That was
the highlight
of the music there.
The direct for me.
Okay, granted, even if you're excited for it, leading off your E3 showcase,
that was something.
With that game.
Yeah, but that was like now. Oh, man.
The year after you've had your biggest platform launch ever just says to me, like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Exactly. You have no idea what's going to happen in this direct. And then it goes back to normal immediately. It
goes on way too long. Not a great cut trailer at all.
I did agree that it was like a minute too long.
You know what was amazing? Way too long. It just cuts right when you're like, wait, what? It just ended there?
They did live gameplay of that on the Treehouse afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It looks much better live.
So it's like an Armored Core game.
It's like an Armored Core S game, and they've got a lot of Armored Core staff on it and stuff. But like, I was just amazed that
designs by the Macross guy. Like,
by the Macross
I'm not
going to
say that's
that?
Not going to be.
And the Fire Emblem Awakening guy.
Yeah, Kozaki's in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really
I think that
like
will
stuff,
be. But. I mean, I am interested in that game. Don't get me wrong. I just.
For a direct, it was interesting.
I wouldn't
super
even put it at E3, that game. I would give that
buddy.
Game. You don't. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
buddy.
Buddy,
Graham, are you really? You're like actually,
yeah, no, actually
excited about it.
I mean, I actually like Armored Core, so seeing that is pretty cool. And then you can fucking pick up trucks and like beams and shit and hit other robots with them. That looks sick, man.
I think it was good to kind of like show a different game.
But also, it was really interesting as a way to start the direct, as you said. Like, if you start with something like that, you have no idea what's coming next. And then they just go right back to normal. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
that was the one thing.
One way of thinking about it, I guess. And then they just.
I just thought I thought it was Xenoblade because the mechs looked a lot like the kind of mechs that you would have seen in Xenoblade. So I was like,
sure, mechs are kind of just mechs. I don't know. Like you can get the Macross guy. They're
yeah,
robots, man.
I guess.
So let's run through. So
beam swords.
Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yes.
Looks like took a page out of
Persona.
Dragon Force, I was going to say.
No, because
the
troops don't actually factor into the battle at all.
At all?
At all. It doesn't seem that way. It seems you've just got troops there, and then your two guys will do the fighting, and then they sort of represent that with soldiers.
One moment in that trailer where they, like, draw lines on the battlefield.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there.
Exactly.
I don't know if that was, if that was, like, a 3D representation. Like, if you don't want to play from the...
I don't think this is just, like, a stock-ass Fire Emblem game that happens to be with... A bunch of dudes.
I think that's a way for them to represent the scale of the battles for the stories they're trying to tell. Like, for the 3D thing that Dermot's talking about, I'm thinking they are now offering, if you don't want to do the traditional overhead 2D, select your things this way, they're now giving you an option to do that from a 3D view. I think ultimately, once you select where you're going, it'll probably still give you the same, like, overview. Mm. Here's
Did
what will happen.
Did they not talk more about this? Did they not do a Treehouse?
I don't think so.
Live? Really?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't think so.
Whoa,
fucked up.
I don't think we saw any more gameplay of that.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, like... Presentation wise too, didn't like blow me away. I mean, I'll be interested.
It definitely felt like
game,
a trailer
but...
that was made like by Japan for Japan that ended up in a direct, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they never think about the audience where they're debuting this stuff when they put those trailers, because it could have been more epic. Like, epic is what people are looking for in a Fire Emblem trailer.
They're also wasting time on things they don't need to show. Like, here's a girl saying, like, do you want to upgrade your axe?
Yeah.
It's like,
no, she's saying, do you want me to focus on axe skills?
Right, whatever that was. Yeah. But it's like,
get
is this
right,
important
Graham.
Right now? Is this your hype trailer?
It does look really good.
Dermot, what do you
think?
What does Dermot think?
Well, so I'm happy that we're getting any type of Fire Emblem on the system, and I think that
that was always going to happen.
Well, I know. So like, but we haven't seen it until now, and that's one thing that we did want to see at E3 that they did deliver, right?
Sure.
So that's a positive, I think.
It's the one thing,
yeah. But it wasn't. It wasn't playable, and it wasn't.
No, and it did get delayed because I'm pretty sure it was confirmed for 2018.
It was originally. Now it's 2019.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I have all the faith in those guys for the most part, to make a really good game. Like, their console Fire Emblems have always been really good. I mean, some of the handheld ones are questionable. Like, but, you know, this looks like it should be.
I don't think the delay was, like, a development delay, though. I think the delay was we have Pokemon in November and Smash in December, and you don't need to come out in 2018
that's
anymore.
That's probably true. Mm. Yeah.
You wouldn't want to have those.
I wonder. There's no way to know anyway.
Super Mario Party, boo.
Well, that was,
game,
though.
That game looks cool.
Oh, my really? God.
The one part where they connect
I'm glad we now have, like, a level, Dermot, for your, like...
No, hold on. listen to their explanations.
What are you going to get excited about? Yeah, that's right.
It's
I don't have any friends. That's why I don't fucking give a shit about Mario Party.
The thing they showed in the trailer was cool, where they put two Switch's screens together, and they, like, draw a line, and now the screen knows what's happening, how they're connected.
We haven't
That's
seen
neat.
Anything like that before
That's
with
neat.
The Switch.
Yeah, they did show that, and they did show off some other stuff at E3 to, like, media related to that kind of stuff.
Also, Super Mario Party is a good name. They finally made the jump.
When,
guys?
When was the last time you played a Mario Party?
Mario Party 3, I think, on the N64.
And you liked it?
It was all right.
Mario Party games are good. Yeah.
I played 10 on Wii U, and it was not good.
Roy, you're going to buy Mario Party game.
I don't know. I don't have any friends.
You don't like Mario.
I'll buy it, and we'll all play.
All two of us?
I would not like
I'll play.
To
I'm down.
Happen.
All right.
We're going to play Chronicles 2 story expansion here.
It's cool. People knew it was coming already.
$30.
It's cool.
September 14th. Too, which is interesting.
Is it?
You can, buy, you can buy a standalone version if you want.
That makes more sense that it's $30.
It's got Xenoblade 1 characters. Or no. That's just a regular update to the... regular game.
This is a story.
Speaking of updates, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle Donkey Kong Adventure comes out actually June 26th. So
very soon.
Hollow Knight available now.
I need to play that.
Fortnite
I need to buy
is available
that,
now.
Everybody talks about Hollow Knight. So it's amazing.
Yep.
Super Smash Brothers has every character in it.
That's so that was say anything more than that.
That was unexpected.
We're not going to just gloss over that. Okay, that was
no. Please let's.
No, how is that the excite? Like, I mean,
that was the direct.
I know, but it's like what
it's like 26 minutes.
Therefore, why is it so fucking underwhelming?
Okay,
Okay, there's every character in it so far. Are we like okay. What else?
Let's gauge interest here. How much do you like Smash?
On a scale of what?
On a scale of 1 to 2. 10. Okay, well, the audience.
No, but like,
really
I can
low.
Still talk. 99% of the games we're talking about here, I'm not going to play. You realize
right,
that, right?
But did you see, like, the
I can still have an opinion about it. Yeah.
To the Smash showing.
But those people are monsters.
Dermot, what could they have showed that would not get the people, like, the Smash audience excited? Like,
this is what people wanted to see.
What exactly?
What that all of the characters you've seen before are back in it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
People want a game that brings back the things that they liked before, right?
I think people also want something different and new and a reason to play this game, and I think that exists. I think they're just not talking about it yet. And Nintendo even was saying, "Hey, yeah, there's lots more to talk about. We're just not talking about it yet." But I'm surprised that that's cool. That don't get me wrong. That's very cool. The fact that the roster has everybody in a game where it makes a difference how many people are in there. That's cool. But that's not like, holy fucking shit, I can't believe it. There's everybody in here. It's like, okay, you're using everything you already made so far. Great. You put one new character that you're highlighting in it that I guess was like a fan, you know, a long fan requested character. That's cool too. But like, is there not, like, what is the, like...
I think they did talk about mechanics a little bit.
They did.
Right? That's been a lot.
That's all they talked about.
Yeah.
And, like,
well,
and if,
for people
too long.
That play fighting games, like, that's what you want to know, right, Graham? Mm-hmm.
It was for the Smash community. Like, I'm not a Smash guy, but very much it was directed at the people who are into it. And I think if you're going at it from the perspective of, I'm a casual Smash fan, or I'm not...
Yeah.
26 minutes is a lot.
Yeah, totally.
I mean,
also,
I definitely think,
like,
I mean,
it's
I would.
About 19 or 20 minutes too much. I mean, come on.
I mean, I think.
We didn't need to see that much.
I'm curious, especially when it's 26 minutes of what, 40 minutes or so direct?
Yeah.
But also, even just at the show, I mean, you guys tell me, I wasn't on social media or meeting message boards, I guess, as much as you guys, but like, there was no palpable excitement. At the show, I'm sure there were crazy lines at Nintendo booth and stuff like that. But in terms of what at least the media was talking about, I've seen it get on lists and things. Don't get me wrong. But like, nobody seemed surprised. Nobody seemed like the Nintendo, like, oh, this is what's like new and different and exciting about this game. Like, to me,
it's a best
it seemed
of.
Like a like for a Smash Brothers game that could very well just own E3. Like, it's a new Smash Brothers game could have been, like, neck and neck with Cyberpunk. To me, in terms of level of, like, excitement generated, it seems to me that that was not there. Like, am I wrong?
With Smash, you know what you're getting, though, right? Cyberpunk, people had never seen anything of.
No, but I'm just using
franchise.
Cyberpunk as, like, an example for this, like, Zelda. Zelda Breath of the Wild was everything, like, up until now, but there was a newness to it, and there was excitement. Mario, there was an excitement to that.
It's
like,
whether or not you want to...
not there...
I think it's hard to be there, though, for
the
Smash.
The excitement of Mario or Zelda, which have had 5 times as many iterations in their series than Smash, fucking owned E3. There was excitement there. That was not there.
But that would have had to be
for Smash.
That
would it's impossible.
Does
anybody disagree with that sentiment?
Smash, though, like, exactly. What you're arguing for? This is what basically.
Why would it have to be completely new?
Mario didn't generate nearly the same excitement that Breath of the Wild did, for starters, but also...
No, but I know there was big-time excitement.
You're asking for a reinvention of the formula, and so what they decided to do here is we're going to make
a sequel to Smash instead of... What I'm doing is commenting that there was not the level of excitement that Nintendo has generated the last
couple of shows. I don't think Smash 4 got the excitement you're probably imagining it did. I mean, Brawl was, like, the first thing that had, like, we have Sonic now, this is a big new thing, but, like, Brawl was very much... Melee 2, 4 was very much Brawl 2, and this is very much 4.
So I don't let me understand what you're arguing.
Like,
let me make a point here. Are you arguing that you agree it did not generate that excitement, but that's okay for some reason? Or
no.
Are you saying, no, it did, and I just didn't see it?
I'm saying it did, but it's not the excitement that you are looking for.
Hmm.
You're looking for a new thing, and this is a sequel to an established franchise
You're not listening to me. I'm not looking for a new thing. What I'm saying is it did not... Whatever it did, it did not generate that level of excitement. Do you agree with that?
No.
Okay.
Because from what I was seeing, from the places that I follow,
yeah,
and the circles that I look at, there is that excitement.
Okay. So, but like larger excitement beyond just outside of the fans.
I don't know.
Okay.
Because I don't actually follow that. So, I mean, somebody else have to answer that. But,
okay.
You know, from where
you
I'm standing, the people
only
that.
Smash fans on Twitter.
I follow,
you
know,
Smash
fighting. I follow fighting game communities, and I follow, you
right.
know, the people.
I mean,
that
the
I
general
Twitter.
The general reaction to Nintendo at E3 that I've seen from my viewpoint is disappointment that there wasn't more stuff.
That's kind of what I'm getting at,
and that's
definitely
kind of my
what
feeling
I
too.
Felt,
yeah.
And what I felt like, not just myself, but from the other people who I was talking to. But it's a bubble. Like when I'm there at E3, so like I am interested to hear. Like
but this is also a company that, like, you know, in a January, like, had a direct that was like bigger than E3 level a couple times.
Exactly.
So, like, it doesn't even
though
I think they kind of did a shitty job at E3, but I don't think that means a whole lot because who knows? Like in the next 3 months, they could drop a direct that's like mind blowing.
Just didn't seem like they showed
you know?
Up really. Like
yeah.
they weren't like trying that.
I think when they
I'm
show
sure
up
they
at E3, I think they're more focused. I think when
yeah.
they show up at E3, it's like, okay, this is an event that happens in. Whatever month it is, June, I don't know. And they're like, we want to sell 2 titles this holiday season. We want to
yeah,
sell people
exactly.
Pokemon and Smash. We're going to put those in the forefront.
Again,
they're
so
putting their eggs
those.
Firmly into one basket.
It might have been better if they said ahead of time they were going to do that. Like the year where they were like, it's just only Zelda this year.
They did. They were like, this is a Smash-focused thing.
Yeah,
and actually, I think we got more than we were expecting.
We did.
They said their booth was going to be focused on it the same way that it was with Zelda. But again... I reject that because Mario and Zelda had way more excitement when they did the same thing.
Mario
with those.
Didn't.
I don't think Mario did. Zelda definitely did because it was
totally
like it was
disagree.
A new thing. Mario was. It's like okay, it's a slightly more 64 version of
People
Galaxy.
Were
like
losing
it was,
their shit.
Think about who
at the return to
this
like
game
Mario
is
64
for,
type
though.
Stuff. It's,
like
it's the, not a return to Mario 64 stuff first, but
no. But that's the perception was
the sandbox style,
and it yeah. is yeah, it is in one sense it is a return to that. Like level of
I
gameplay.
Just think
anyway.
If I knew it was going to be that long, I would have gone to bed like 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, because you were up late.
Yeah, here it was like
it was 1 a.m. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was right in the middle of
I
my like
through
kidney stone pain, and like that hour like helped distract me.
Oh really?
Yeah, I was like basically cringing.
I was
not
like
of the direct,
scrubbing
but.
Through the. I'm like, wait, what is this? And then like scrubbing, still scrubbing. Wait, still no, still really? Wait, really? This is the whole thing?
Just
like,
so that it doesn't
wow.
seem like we're focusing too much on like the negative parts. What they did show, there's a lot of interesting stuff if you are there as a Smash fan.
Okay.
Like a lot of the mechanics changed in ways that I personally find exciting because
okay.
Brawl
yeah,
was
I think
way,
Smash looked good. Like
was,
I'm on,
Brawl
not,
was way too goddamn slow. Smash 4 was still too slow. And this makes a lot of
cool changes that are actually geared towards, I feel like, a crowd that wants to take it more seriously. Like, if you dodge too often in a row, you'll start having longer delay on that, so it's easier to tag you. And, like, directional air dodges are back. Like, there are a lot of things that are geared towards people who want to play the game on a more skill-based level.
Sure.
And so they showed a lot of that, which
they
I think
sped
people...
sped up a lot of things, too.
Sped up a lot of things. And, like, I think people who follow the game more casually don't give a shit. They don't need this extra 20 minutes on a direct. But if you're, like, if you're a Smash person who is interested in the series, there's a lot in there that was interesting to you. Also, Zelda is hella cute now. Holy shit.
Link to the Past Zelda.
Link to the Past Zelda.
Also,
Link
between worlds, but... also, Olimar, when you knock him down, cracks appear in his helmet.
Yeah, that's so
fucking dope, man.
Does it eventually bust?
It goes back immediately.
they even made a point to mention that.
No!
But you know, I do think for all that, so like cool. This would have been an amazing like 20-minute after their direct, we're just going to go nuts on Smash after we're done showing you a whole bunch of other cool shit. But having it take up the whole thing was bad to
Nintendo
me. But whatever,
play on that schedule,
it's done.
So it's...
I do think Smash Brothers looks good. I'm excited about it. But like, I just wish there was more, and
I'm
think more is coming.
But if you're...
You're not going to play it.
Play it.
Oh, really? I'll play it. I mean, I always play it, but I always just get bored pretty quick. But I'm going to give it another shot. Like, I'm not... It's like Splatoon. Like, I'm not... I respect it completely.
What is the rest of your year as a Switch owner? Like, what is your rest of your year like? Like, what are the big titles to be excited for if you're not a Smash fan?
If you're not
Pokemon?
Young. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Pokemon.
There's Pokemon, Super Mario Party. There's a lot of, I mean, Octopath Traveler's coming out.
There's just not a lot
Octopath
of, like,
is something
big,
I
like
care
it's,
about.
It's hang your third parties. It's actually titles. Like, you know, there's Octopath there.
Undertale.
FIFA 19.
Big one. Biggest one, possibly.
But there you go. Yeah. Undertale. I'll accept that. But no, like, first party,
Luminous.
Well,
no,
they've been going hard with first party, though.
No,
maybe
objection,
they need a little
like,
bit of a break.
From an objective standpoint, you can't really have a stronger 1-2 punch than...
Undertale and Luminous.
Undertale and Luminous. Pokemon and Smash, month after month, is huge. Like, it's not for us in particular, because we're, like, you know, probably a more core crowd.
Sure.
But from an objective standpoint, Pokemon followed by Smash is fucking huge. Like, they don't need anything else this year.
No.
Leading up until then, they're expecting other people to fill the gaps, which is kind of like Octopath.
I think you're right if you're talking about it. I'm not, and this is not talking down either, but I think that's like for like a generally young audience. Like, if you want to reach everybody,
Smash is everybody. Pokemon is also
everybody. We're talking about Nintendo, aren't we?
No, it's not. Smash and Pokemon are everybody.
Those are everybody.
Those are everybody.
I don't know.
You play Pokemon.
I do, but I'm not everybody. I'm pretty core. Like, I don't know many people my age who give a shit about either of those games.
You don't play through, like, the
okay,
RPGs.
But again,
like,
like, Pokemon Let's Go and Smash Ultimate are both games designed to bring people back into franchises that they may have, like, strayed away from. Pokemon Let's Go takes it back to the first games.
Do you think that people like my age are going to be playing that game?
Yes. You people never leave. You stay here forever.
Nintendo was going to, or was for a while, having like one big title a month, right?
Yeah,
so
that first year.
Right, so that's what I want. Like, in some months, it's not going to be a game for me. I get it. I totally
like Super Mario
understand
Party.
That.
September's
but
a
like,
or October's
I look
a
at this fall, and I'm just like, what is here for me, like, to get excited about? For me,
there's plenty of other games on other consoles, though. You know, you have Red Dead coming in the fall.
No one, Dermot, is arguing that there's not plenty of games. I'm not even arguing that there's not, like, third-party games or whatever. I'm just saying, like...
Well,
Nintendo first party,
I think
I
it's
want
fine.
There to
if
be some shit for
there
me.
Are, there are, they're like, I mean, Super Mario Party and then Pokemon and then Smash, and like, none of those are for me. I can do other shit. I'm an adult.
Right, let's move on. This we're just going in circles.
I will say, for the record, by the way, I actually am excited personally about the Pokemon games, and I am going to play them, but I do not think I am the average guy my age who cares
Pokemon
about it.
Pokemon is absolutely for everybody.
Moving on.
That's
Pokeball.
I don't even know how to make a steak out of it. Like, will it sell a bajillion copies? Yes, nobody's going to bet against
You've
that.
Been Pokeballed, Graham.
Pokeball comes with Mew, Damon X Machina. We got to move faster because we talked about that so much. Yoshi's Switch game got moved to 2019.
It's fine. Oh, okay.
It's fine.
That's fine.
Yep. Yep. I'd be happy with that, even if that came out this year. Star Fox is in some shitty looking
fine.
Yeah. So the kids game. Dermot, I'm sure you're very excited about
this. That's one I don't care about.
Oh, okay. We found one. So yeah, they showed it off at the Ubisoft press conference.
It's okay to like things, Mark.
October 16th, Starlink, Battle for Atlas, Switch, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. And of course, the Star Fox stuff is exclusive to the Switch.
Yeah.
It did. There's like an interplay with toys and stuff like that. It's like a new
variation
of
Toys
to Life
cool.
stuff.
Interesting that the Nintendo Ubisoft partnership continues in this game.
Yep. Donkey Kong Skyscraper, we talked about. Fortnite, yes, you can play on Switch, but if you
do that, you don't want to play with that same account on the PS4 or vice versa.
You can't. So this,
right. Yeah.
Which is the problem.
Yeah. So yeah, this much hay has been made of this. I don't know if
we Sony needs to give up on that already. That's kind of silly.
They do it such bad PR.
Yeah.
I ran into that myself because I downloaded Fortnite the night it came out at McDonald's. And and I tried to log in and play with my friends and I couldn't.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, it sucks that, and you couldn't know to have made that choice,
no.
which is like a shitty
after
part of it.
After you spent your hard-earned nothing to download it.
That's right.
No, it is bullshit. It's pretty stupid.
Death Stranding, new Death Stranding trailer, Cosmic Delivery Service.
Heck yeah.
Yo, that Kiki's looks so delivery good. Service.
Yeah.
Lindsay Wagner, man, that is some hot shit right
that's
there.
That's hilarious.
It's coming back
that's
to us.
Crazy.
Bionic Woman, baby.
Crazy. Deep cut. Also, that woman from Mission Impossible.
I didn't know who
was also Spec 5 or whatever.
Spectre,
the 007.
I didn't know.
Yeah, her.
Great actress.
Are they?
I'll say.
Is Lindsay Wagner using her real voice?
It's her. She's.
Well, I mean, it's her.
She was doing PR. No, I know, and it's aged down. But I think she's also in the game as her current age. Weren't there some pictures of her older?
Oh, I didn't see it.
I think there were.
I need to go back and watch.
She was actually at E3, with Kojima doing press and shit like that. Yeah. yeah, there she is wearing a necklace with code. I mean, I do think
I feel like I know any more about the game than before, other than that he delivers shit. But it's still, I'm really.
You should
excited.
Watch a trailer dissection because people have found tons of shit and put shit together with other trailers where I'd forgotten about shit. And that's one thing that I think they're doing amazingly well with these trailers is they are dropping breadcrumbs
just
enough for the community and kind of Westworld or
Lost
or something that. Yeah, there are lots of dots to connect and lots of stuff to speculate and have fun on. Here, the necklace that the Lindsay Wagner character is wearing has got codes in it and all kinds of shit.
Super curious about that gameplay.
So, they showed quote-unquote gameplay, but it was just...
Walking around.
Mostly, just traversal.
They kind of made it look like it was almost a puzzle in you have certain obstacles you need to overcome while maintaining the things you're carrying with you. Because there's a part where he loses some in rapid water and stuff that. So I think I don't know where you're going. One thing that I couldn't help but think when I saw it is how great are the distances between places you're going? Because it could get kind of boring unless there's really a really high level
and it
of
could just be cut
problem solving.
A lot of that for the trailer, right? That could be not a major, or maybe it is a Shadow of the Colossus type game where you spend a lot of the point of it is just to, who knows?
I could say that song was stuck in my head all after that.
Always every trailer.
Yeah,
That game looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Days Gone coming PS4 in February. That was announced as part of the
countdown.
Yeah,
that's that February 22nd day. That's every day.
Yes, that was funny too. Yeah, that became a running joke. And I didn't realize until I was typing it to somebody, why does everybody fucking care about February 22nd? It's 2-2-2, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, so
only, I don't know.
That's Xbox launch day in Japan. If they knew that, they might see
it. Also, 999 was a 9999 was a big day in the West.
Final Fantasy
in the Dreamcast? Final Fantasy in the Dreamcast? That was big.
Remedy's new game, Control, reminded me a lot of their Xbox One game. What was that?
Quantum Break.
Yes. It got, had a lot of people talking about it. I thought the trailer looked cool, kind of trippy.
Hideo Kojima was hyped about it.
Oh, was he?
Yep.
Was he doing that?
It looked like his type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in 2019, I liked the gun. Looked like it was, breathing. That was kind of cool. I thought it was I thought it was a trippy drug thing or whatever, but then parts of it started looking more like Quantum Break, but I'd be down for that. Those guys make pretty interesting games.
Yeah.
Trover Says Universe, I think was the only VR title during the showcase.
I think you're right.
The trailer wasn't as funny as I would hope from Rick.
It wasn't funny at all.
Justin Roiland is awesome.
It was just him doing the voice
for
30 painful seconds.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they need to get Dan Harmon in on that if they want.
I think the game will be very cool. I love the stuff that those guys do. And actually, they were our next door neighbor in the demo room where we were showing Tetris Effect, but I didn't get a chance. I sat down once, and some of them from the media came, so I had to go. But I heard the setup to it. The setup to it is actually pretty, weird and interesting and very Rick and Morty.
Did you talk to anybody that tried it? Like
sci-fi? I didn't, actually. Okay. I didn't get much. But, I mean, it won a bunch of, like, Best of the Show awards and stuff like that. I heard people laughing a bunch of times. No launch date given, I guess, yet. So, all right, Graham, pronounce this.
I think it's Deraciné.
The new PlayStation VR game from Software. So this was just after the showcase, but as part of the stream, they showed this off. Kind of a weird trailer,
super cool.
But I think kind
super
of a weird
cool.
game.
I mean, it's sort of like people don't really acknowledge that From Software existed before Souls, but this is kind of like a return to form for them in a lot of ways. Because like on the PS1, they would just make a lot of atmospheric games where you just walk around in an environment and see what's going on. Like Echo Knight is a game that means a lot to me personally, but like that seems like a return to form for just like you're in an environment, see what's happening, see what's going on in this world. And
almost
I think
like
VR is a good fit for
game
that.
Game is how I've heard it described. Yeah, like, yeah. Like the old definition of adventure used to be kind of...
I got strong Bloodborne vibes, so it's funny that you mentioned that it's like kind of going back to their roots.
I mean,
it's
like
gothic.
Originally, like a lot of their games were just like first person things. Like Echo Knight, you're just like on a steamship and it's in first person. Dark, like Shadow Tower, you're in a tower and it's first person. And I think this goes back to a lot of that, probably the chops that they developed during that era and have not used at all since. So I think it's really cool that they're doing this.
So you're a fairy, live in a world where time stands still. Nobody can see what you're up to. Yeah, I think there was a lot of interviews from out of the show to read more about that. Here's more Death Stranding stuff. Sekiro, we talked about. Shadows Die Twice. I don't know about that Shadows Die Twice name. The Division 2, they had a new...
That looked good.
...trailer.
I'm pumped for that.
Yeah, you got it? That got you excited?
It's maybe the best gameplay demo at E3.
Oh, really?
Did you watch it, Mark?
You liked that, like... I watched, like, 5 minutes of it. Yeah, the, like... It has that Ubisoft, like... fake but off the cuff
a little
like,
bit
kind of thing, which I actually think for that type of game you kind of that's probably the best way to show it.
Yeah, it's a little too fake.
I thought it looked good. I just remember how excited I was for the first Division and how but kind of how quickly it
I think
petered out.
They really tried to make it clear that that's not going to happen this time. They were like we've got plans, we're gonna do stuff. So
I did actually, this game Sable was actually one of the games that I was most excited about, just from a pure visual aesthetic. Super Mobius, obviously, like Mobius inspired. Looked really good. I didn't realize this premiered at the PC gaming show.
I didn't either.
But yeah, let's see. Hit Mac and Windows PC 2019.
Ooh, no real consoles.
Also set, well, it says also set to come to consoles, although they have yet to specify which. Like, probably negotiating.
That's the type of game that I don't care what you're doing in it. If it looks like that, I will play it.
Yeah, same. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is like one of the most arresting, like, oh shit, like games of E3.
Yeah,
I'd say only like three of those.
Tunic, another one.
Tunic was a good one out of Microsoft's conference as well. Yeah, I'm excited for
Tunic
that game.
Cool,
very
old
school Zelda vibes. Sega like bringing Yakuza 0 and Kiwami to PC. Yakuza's Fist of the North Star game coming west.
Somebody here said that wasn't happening. Yeah.
It seems like a bad choice.
I agree, it's a bad choice. It's not going to sell at all. Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad it's happening personally.
Anime is, you know, big now.
Fist of the North
Star. Kids love that shit.
Who knows about Fist of the North
Star? Talk about weird decision. So the Persona dancing games plural.
Yeah,
it didn't sell like jack shit.
They sold terribly in Japan.
Really,
it's amazing.
Bad. You know why? They cost like fucking $80.
Plus, they're also like six SKUs or some shit.
Yeah, exactly. There's like a. I was like looking at my local store. It was like, wait, what? There's like a limited edition. I think it comes with all of them.
Yeah.
It's how much is it?
So it's like.
It's $130.
There's like a double pack, and then there's individuals for each, and then there's also like LEs for each or whatever or some shit. It's terrible.
It's like they're like super just into milking the shit out of their fans.
It's really I think the fans are done.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm going to buy those games.
Really? Damn, man. Life is Strange Studio reveals mystery thriller Twin Mirror.
It's cool.
That looked interesting. Story-driven investigation game coming to consoles and PC in 2019.
Yeah.
Interesting, just like different and interesting. I thought I was into that. I'll just skip that one right there. Dermot.
FIFA 19's got the Champions League coming. That's the last license they needed.
Goal! Dead or Alive 6 announced, coming early in 2019.
And
PlayStation, Windows, Xbox One. Anything to care about that? No.
Nope.
Not much said about that. We talked about Devil May Cry. That's spring 2019. Resident Evil 2 remake. So here's one of the other few titles that I think could punch up with Cyberpunk, could compete with it.
The trailer that they showed at the Sony conference was okay, and people got excited. But the trailer that they released at the same time, kind of quietly, I think showed that game in a way better light.
I think probably gameplay would show better than whatever cinematic thing they would have,
yeah,
to be honest.
Which is weird, because at conferences, a lot of times, it is the opposite. Yeah. But like seeing the gameplay, I mean, it looked like legit scary, looked really good. You saw returning characters from the previous game, yes, from the previous version of Resident Evil 2. And also, like, the date was kind of a big thing, too. It's, like, coming January 25th, 2019. Mm. So kind of like Resident Evil 7 now. They're just like, boom, and yeah, it's coming out actually, like, soon.
Good for them.
Yeah,
good for them.
I can't wait. I love the original. I'm really excited to play it.
That is, I'm super fucking excited about. Almost to the point where there's playthroughs out there now of like the first 30 minutes.
Right.
Like, does this direct feed from?
Oh yeah,
three,
I don't want to see that.
And I don't want to see that.
Does this mean maybe the Resident Evil episode will happen in the near future?
Could be. Hope Springs Eternal, Roy. Maybe it will. I'm hearing rumblings of other kind of wannabe interlopers thinking of doing their own podcast, so we might have to fucking squash that down and do better ones or something ourselves. Soul Calibur 6 coming October 19th. Not a lot of people I heard talking about that, but it must have been there, right?
Yeah.
Cuphead DLC, they did announce that. The announcement video that they showed didn't get you too excited, but I mean, people would get excited about
that. You
can play
as a Lady Cup now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Nier Automata heading to Xbox One. That was also weird.
Digital only.
Trailer.
Yeah, digital only.
It looks like.
Huh.
Yeah.
June 26th. Become as gods.
I love that it is named after a line of our dialogue. That's amazing.
Yeah. So how much is that? It's cheaper.
50 bucks, I think?
Yeah, it's $50.
Someone said it runs really smooth on Xbox One X, too. So.
Yep, pre-order now, $49.99.
I hope so.
The game's beautiful.
Platinum Games announces Babylon's Fall at the Square conference.
That was interesting.
No idea what it is, but...
Video did not, like... No.
It's
like,
a narrative thing.
Who spends money on this stuff?
It is?
It's just a narrative thing, yeah. There's no actual like gameplay in there.
Oh,
yeah.
Here's a video.
Here's a bunch of lore.
Yeah. The game is just...
It was like,
yeah.
How... I want to get excited about this.
I have no idea what it is.
Giving me nothing to get excited about. Like, besides that it's a Platinum Games thing, there's nothing to hold
on. Did they show
any
gameplay?
Nope.
No, there's like a guy... two characters towards the end of it, right?
Nobody's actually doing anything. It's just like, here is our world, and you know, it's neat.
Mm.
Monster Hunter World getting Final Fantasy 14 enemies. That's a very interesting, weird crossover.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I wish I was playing... Like, I've played both those games. I'm not playing either of them right now.
Kingdom Hearts 3 got not one, but two, I'm going to say, square quotes, trailers.
I think there were three.
They were played both. Oh, really? Because it was at the Square Enix conference as well.
Yeah.
Ouch. I mean, it was just like...
Am I the only one thing that game looks like bullshit?
I thought you think the voice acting
voice acting was some of like the worst stuff I've
seen. I'm not arguing there.
Can we agree that it depends on what you mean by that? Like, do you think every Kingdom Hearts game looks like bullshit? Because looked like another Kingdom Hearts game.
Thank you for setting the barometer.
I'm just saying, it looked like a Kingdom Hearts game. What do you expect?
I played like 6 hours of the first Kingdom Hearts game and then like an hour of the second Kingdom Hearts game.
So you're an expert.
I see this trailer. I'm an expert. I'm the best.
Yes.
I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Why would you expect
about any of this?
No, like, so just
well, they're
going to
give you like hours of playback to tell you what you missed.
Cut as a trailer, which is why I say trailer. It was not a trailer. Like, it was terrible. No fully for parts of it. There were just people talking.
There was no through line.
It was just fucking Utada Hikaru fucking
singing song. And then like now I'm talking to the frozen girl, and now there's Mike Wazowski.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter. Just like with your Smash Brothers shit, it doesn't matter because there's a dog whistle code to people who are fucking Disney people, and it's like, holy shit, Frozen people, holy shit, Pirates of the Caribbean, their mind stops working, they stop listening, they stop hearing anything, they stop thinking logically.
Incapable of critical thought.
Exactly. Just like the two of you guys with the fucking Smash Brothers
thing. I'm not even going to buy Smash. I don't know. Does Haley Joel Osment, I understand he's still voicing Sora.
I believe he does, yeah.
Does he not speak English anymore?
Well,
because like he would stop in the middle of his lines. It's like, wow, you can control ice?
They had to match
the
Japanese lip flaps.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Come on, Graham. You know, you've done this long enough to fucking know.
Everything about that trailer is so cringy, so awful. I don't even...
Yeah.
But the
one nice thing about it, as a Kingdom Hearts fan, is that they did drop some subtle hints to major story things happening in the bigger picture of things.
Okay, they did. Yeah.
I heard that a girl got norted.
Yeah.
Aqua got norted.
Norted.
Is that like getting snorted? What does that even mean?
It's basically like in the lore of Kingdom Hearts, there's been one person who has not given into the darkness, and she finally gave into the darkness, and it's very sad. All right. Continue.
All right.
It just looks so weird to me to have like some of the best graphics I've seen in the Pirates of the Caribbean characters next to like the most shit ass Nomura fucking turd burger design
dude in black
of
coat.
A person. Yes. Like six different dude and women like, in black
it's
coat.
It's like 13
guys.
Of them, right? There's 13 just people in black
they're
coat.
They're all yeah. well, so actually, terrible.
actually, go ahead.
So bad. Oh my god. All right. In other anime news, Jump Force, that was kind of a surprise at Microsoft's conference of all places. It's like, are you even going to release this in Japan on your
it's
platform?
Like it's Goku beating up Luffy like in New York City. New York City.
Doesn't matter. Top of the fucking charts immediately. That thing had tons of hype on it, believe it or not. Grim Fandango remastered and Broken Age coming to Switch. Cool. They had that little thing at E3. Overcooked 2,
huge get,
bafflingly announced. Yeah, coming this August, I'll but not just coming to Switch. It's coming to
everything.
Everything, right? Yeah. Crazy. Also crazy that Nintendo was the only real major platform that showed. I mean, Microsoft had a couple, or at least one. But like, what a world we live in now, where Nintendo's the one giving the indies the light or the time of day.
That's true.
Props to them for doing that.
Yeah.
But Harvest Moon Creators Little Dragon Cafe coming this summer.
Neat.
PlayStation 4 and Switch on August 28th. Raise Neat. Dragons and manage a cafe.
Actually, cool. That sounds cool.
That sounds all right.
Yeah. Killer Queen announced. That was the other Nintendo Switch. That's also coming to PC.
That leaked image was absolutely real.
It was, except for there was one thing on there. What was it that was on there that didn't come out of E3? Damn it, I can't remember now. There was one of the bigger, one of the games that you actually wouldn't be surprised about was on there. Now I can't remember.
Let it go.
Metal Wolf Chaos, XD, hilariously coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Oh, man. Cool.
Yep. 4K and 16:9 support. Very interesting. That's if you don't know what that is, Dorito it. Respawn Star Wars game. I thought this was funny that this was news. Just somebody saying it's called, this is what the name is. And that was fucking megaton. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. That's kind of, all
it's
you
like,
got.
It's like so a gritty Star Wars thing,
set between episodes 3 and 4. So
does this mean they're not making Titanfall anymore?
No, they have two teams.
At the bottom, you could see that they're still...
Yep, still working on the new game in the Titanfall franchise and a still untitled virtuality game for the Oculus Rift. Fortnite had that surprise announcement where they were out that day. I mean, that is something that we pay short shrift to on this podcast, but of course
it's the biggest thing. That
big news. Yeah. Like, we had 2 million people.
Can you flap the paper so people can hear the full amount
full
of paper
flappiness?
See, you can hear the weight
heavy.
To it.
Yeah, this was a big fucking.
How many pages,
news.
Dermot?
Props
64 pages.
To you guys for printing all that out. Thanks to mostly Polygon for our news.
That was all Polygon.
Anything else we forgot out of E3 that people were personally excited for? Big takeaways from E3. Who's excited for what coming out of that show?
We didn't talk much about like the games that Sony showed, the demos that they showed.
Okay,
right.
Yeah,
Spider-Man had a really good demo.
That's true. Yeah, we didn't talk about some of the other.
Too long, I think.
Was
Sony
surprised you in that demo? Like, he's just beating guys up and slinging around. And
Spider-Man fans would tell you that bosses. Well,
Sinister Six.
There
they
you go.
Show all of them, but that was good though. It was cool that they confirmed more villains and they left it on the cliffhanger, so you don't really know like who's pulling the strings. I thought
that's
the game
a
was
lot
great.
Of
Maybe
villains.
You are.
Yeah, I hope so. Pulling the webs.
Can
I do a midair spinning pile driver like in Spider-Man 2?
I'm
That's
sure you
all
can.
I want to do.
At the balloon.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. At the balloon.
I thought EA's Sea of Solitude looked really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on in it. but it looked really cool. I like games where there's like water and like sunken cities and stuff like that. That gets me.
That got a lot of hype.
Yeah, it's not.
Anthem had a shit ton of hype. Like,
I'm also hyped for that.
I did not. I still have not seen that.
Yes, I mean, looking at the Division 2's demo and looking at Anthem's, like the Division 2 looked like a way better game. Even though I'm way more excited for Anthem, just because it showed better.
Yeah.
Right. You mean like graphically, like appearance wise, or you just mean gameplay wise?
Gameplay wise,
and like how they paced the actual gameplay demo of it. I think last year Anthem looked like a better game.
Yeah. I did see some complaints about that there was not any real explaining of what was going on in Anthem or something. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the complaints were, or something like that. I mean, for me, I guess, big takeaways, Resident Evil 2, Cyberpunk, but the thing about Cyberpunk is I feel like it's too far away to get too excited about.
When is it? Is it like next year sometime?
No, they didn't say.
It's not even, okay.
Yeah, probably 2020.
I was saying they were, people were guessing it'd be 2020 for that, whatever reason, but, Sekiro,
it's going to be fucking great coming out early next year.
Excited for that.
Coming out at the start of 2019.
Some of the VR stuff, I'm excited for the Squanch, Squanch games, and,
what about Last of Us 2?
And Last of Us 2, yeah.
Oh, fuck. We forgot to talk about...
We also forgot the Ghost game and whatever the fourth thing in that presentation.
So we talked about Ghost. We talked about Death Stranding. Yeah. So I will say, I think that is a hard game to show at a conference where there's a room full of people.
We're talking about Last of Us?
Yeah.
A tent, actually.
It was a tent. that was another thing, The flow... The flow of the conference.
Take a 5-minute break.
Yeah.
Were you there for the tent?
No, I didn't. Transition? I was watching from a hotel room. Thank God. I mean, I'm kind of glad that
and then they cut to some guys talking about nothing.
Yeah, that was the worst part. I would have rather looked at like just a white screen with like a countdown timer to when it was going to go back.
Straight up.
I mean, I think they did as good as you can do with like, okay, we have to like fill this air in here, but like, they could have shown maybe just other trailers.
Yeah,
they left Dead Rising until after the show when they could have just shown it there. Yeah.
Very
to
good
fill
point.
Time.
Very
like
good point.
You didn't have to have post game shows if you had time in the show that was filled with
it was weird. Dreams. It almost seemed like it had ended because it's the same thing that they show when the conference ends. Yeah. It's people talking and talking heads. And I think Sid Schumann and those guys do as good as you can do. But it's just like, there's nothing you can do. People are so anxious. Yeah. Like, wait, what the fuck? This just started, and I'm already at like a go to the bathroom like break time thing.
Because after watching like 10 minutes or whatever of Last of Us 2, it's like, can we have something we don't know about?
It was a good demo though.
So I've watched that demo a bunch of times, and like, you what it's doing, what they're doing tech wise and AI wise and stuff. It's really amazing. I get it.
Mesh wise,
I get it that some people are squeamish with what they show. I mean, the part where they like fucking
tear out the insides.
Shove their hands in the guy's stomach and pull the shit out.
I kind of wonder, how does that work? Like, what button do you press to do that? That's the thing.
It was the guy doing the way overkill. Like, they had a guy that they were hanging, and then they stabbed him.
Right.
He's like, why? Any of these things would have killed him. You do three different things at once.
That's true. Why do you have to hang him and kill him?
Why do you have to hang him and disembowel him?
But what I will say is, when they showed Last of Us 1, it had almost the exact same reaction in terms of people being like, Jesus Christ, like what people were like cheering when they were killing people, and like, what, you're just showing this like super brutal stuff. But when you saw it in the game and in context, it did feel earned. It didn't feel out of place. It didn't feel over the top, right?
I like that she's like a Gundam. Like, she'll get hit with like bullets and arrows, and she'll be like, fuck it, I'm still going.
I know. Like,
she doesn't give a shit.
I mean,
she's
it does
dying,
still need
man.
To be a video game, but like, if you watch that thing, if you pay attention to the details, like a lot of the stuff that's doing, that thing are doing, are really amazing. Like,
well,
all this.
That's what makes me. I mean, okay, I'm actually really. I love the first game mostly because of the story, and I'm very excited to see where it goes. But like, that's what also bums me out is like, these guys do stuff on a tech level that is like so far ahead of everyone else, like leaps and bounds beyond what other devs are doing. But they just keep making like these games where you just. Just like, I'm sick of seeing all the blood. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but I'm tired of it. I would love for them to make a game that's not this genre and see what they could do, because they make amazing shit.
What would you have them do?
You could just anything.
Be,
like,
you just be two girls kissing the whole time. That'd be right. They did that pretty well.
They sure did.
I could watch more.
That was look good. That was amazing as
I mean,
they should do Uncharted 4. I think was their biggest foray yet, besides like the Left Behind DLC for Last of Us. In like, hey, let's not have it where all you're doing is like
but
shooting people over and over.
But you still mostly are just shooting people over and over. I mean, right? It's not like...
I mean, Uncharted 4 had a much greater balance on that.
I would love to see them make like a Zelda-style game or something like that. Like, just see what they could do. Because
no one can stop Mr. Domino. Let's just like...
That was my second
Is that license free? Oh my God. Is that finally last? Is that
Flex those creative muscles.
You want to see the continuation of that story.
No, of course.
You?
I mean, I'm disappointed even saying this. Like, I don't want to be saying this, but I literally feel tired when I think of that game. I'm like, ugh, I have to sit through this shit again.
You have to, like work up the courage. Okay, I'm going to play this now. I have to kind of, like, steel myself to the core.
Yeah, I have to see all the things I want to see. I have to deal with the shit that I don't need to see. Like, especially today, like, the world is fucked up, especially America. Right. Like, I don't need all this
but
shit.
But in fairness, though, like I said earlier, the whole show, there were probably 25 post-apocalyptic hellscapes. We're picking one and being like, they went over the top.
I was
like,
this one. I was
because you have higher expectations for the people who you think, you know, like I respect these guys more than I respect all those other ones probably combined. So you know, I mean, as developers,
that's a fair
like,
point.
I'm not digging on. I love Naughty Dog, and like I think those guys are capable of amazing shit, and that's kind of why, you know, how we are on this podcast. We kind of criticize what we love the most, you know, like so.
That's true.
As Nintendo knows,
sure. Yeah, I mean, I do think in context though. And well, I get what you're saying, and I do think that there will be people who just watch playthroughs of games like that because they do really want the story, but the gore and the stuff is too much. And I do think that you can get lost in the like, oh man, this is going to be the most hardcore, like realistic gutting of a person that's ever been in a game or whatever. Yeah. But like they did get questions about that, a lot of questions about that at E3, and you know their thing was like it would be a disservice to not show that stuff. Like
I agree
that you would be like to trivialize it or to whatever. I think it's an interesting thing. I'm sure it'll get talked about more until that game comes out. I was kind of sad that they didn't announce a date for that. I was hoping that we would at least see 2019.
Do you think it's a 2019 game?
I don't know.
It can't be later than
2019.
It's not going to be later than 2019.
It sure could be.
It could be. I mean, remember, Last of Us 1 came out fucking PS3. It came out like at the like butt end of that life cycle.
It's been
Naughty
a long
Dog used
time,
to never never have delays, but if they don't announce a date, it can't be delayed. I think that's their thinking. Mm. If they were confident it was going to be 2019, I think they would have said
that's
that.
That's the thing. When they first gave Uncharted 4 a date, it got pushed like 3 times after that.
It did. That was, I think, the first game that they ever delayed, though.
Well, they delayed The Last of Us.
They did. Maybe it was Last of Us was the first one that they had ever delayed. But the Uncharted 4, I think they had to delay it twice or something. That is one of my... I mean, any piece of media, anything that comes out about that game, I just devour it ravenously. That's definitely at the very top of my most anticipated list as well. Anybody, any other like highlights out of the show? Things that you were not as hyped for coming into it and that you left, like, besides Tetris Effect, of course. VR game of the show. Nominated best game, 15 games to watch coming out of E3.
Did you get to have like any like
many
famous people
kudos.
Play it, like Steven Spielberg come and play, or like
actually,
Macaulay Culkin or some shit?
One of the Last of Us actresses
Who
played it. Name them. Not the girl from Westworld.
Ashley?
Not Ashley.
Was it the lady that said they should be afraid of you?
No, that's the Westworld. That's the Westworld lady. I'm embarrassed that I forgot her name. She's fairly famous, definitely a famous voice actress, but anyway. Hey, Coolio would like to play your game.
Back in the day, it was like Michael Jackson or Webster or whatever.
I saw Elijah Wood at E3 once.
He was at E3 this year, too.
Yeah, he was on stage.
Story about Elijah Wood.
Okay.
So he's behind me in line, and I hear some guy be like, "Are you Elijah Wood?" And he's like, "Oh, geez, you had to point it out, now everybody's going to know." So I turn around and I confirm that's Elijah Wood. And then I just pretend like I don't know who he is, and I turn back around, and I continue waiting to play whatever shitty game it was.
That's what he wants, though.
No, he wanted me to be like, "Oh my God, it's Elijah Wood, can I have your autograph?" So I denied him that.
Yeah.
And I just pretended like I didn't know who he was.
You won, Roy. Good
That's right.
job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Me,
feels
one,
good, doesn't
Elijah
it?
Wood, zero.
Zero.
Good.
He's like, I'm sure
Elijah
he was pissed.
Wouldn't.
He's like, what the fuck? That guy just turned around without even
exactly.
What the fuck? He listens to this podcast. You
That's
know that,
fine.
Right?
Yeah. He won't know which one I am.
That Justin's an asshole.
What's your Twitter? SPRSK.
I think that's it for our big E3 recap show. So anything else, or should we tell people where to find us?
I think it's about time to wrap this shit up. Dermot, where can they find us?
Wrap that shit up!
You can find us at 8-4.jp, our second home, giantbomb.com. We have a Facebook page as well. Like us on there. There's always a thread on Resetera.
Can we call out Resetera for a second?
Which had, nothing.
Yeah, nobody.
Put him on blast, Graham. Do it.
We had zero comments about the hype.
I love that zero. You guys refresh the thread. Wait, where's the what? There's no
Before
comments.
Episode, we always check. Nobody gave a shit. I think it's time to just put the hype train to bed. There's no more hype.
Yeah. Wow.
Just skip that
true?
Episode.
There's no
Stop
more hype.
Saying it.
Is that true, audience?
We're zero hurt. Tweet out. I don't think Giant jealous. Bomb even put us up.
They didn't.
Really?
That's
they
right.
Didn't?
They didn't.
There was zero.
Well, they were busy.
They
had shit going on.
Calling out friend of the show, Brad Shoemaker.
Shit going on. Yeah. They did have us
saying,
on their live stream, which was awesome.
Nobody cares about the hype train anymore.
Which was super fun. Wow.
That's enough.
Prove them wrong, people. Prove them wrong.
Dermot worked very hard on that episode.
Send some love.
Good job, Dermot.
Us seeing him suffer was fun, but clearly the audience didn't enjoy that as much.
In fairness, no complaints is a win.
Prove them wrong. I think it's just a quiet majority out there that's
never too late to complain about
enjoying it. That's true. I did get a few tweets. We got a few tweets.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did.
Thank you. So, I guess
Continue
that's it.
You
We're also on Twitter at 84play.
That's right.
Or
Speaking of tweets,
personal Twitters. I, John, am at JohnTV. Mark, where can they find you?
At MarkMacD.
Dermot.
I'm at Dermalo.
How about you, Roy?
I'm at Kotawari.
And now Elijah Wood knows how to find you.
Damn.
Graham.
Oh, I'm at Timely Howard.
All right.
So, until 2 weeks from now,
we'll be back right just in time for Independence Day.
Oh, shit, yeah.
America.
Who wants to take us out?
I'm wearing Kingdom Hearts underwear right now.
is it compression underwear?
No, it's just regular, but see, you can see the keyblades.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Really mean, oh. You're only everything I am. Ever dreamed of? You must be kidding me. Did you really think I could say no? I want you for a lifetime. So if you're gonna think twice, baby, I don't wanna know, baby. I don't wanna know. Everything is just right.
This one's for you, England.
And Scholes gets forward. He's got Heskey on for the pass. England win it again. It's Emil Heskey.
We're going to score goals. Goals. We're going to score goals. Lots of goals. England's going to score all of the goals.
England, England, England. England, England, England. England, England, England.
We're going to score goals. We're going to score goals, goals, goals.
England.
We're going to score a big amount of goals.
England.
We're going to score lots of goals,
England.
Bad goals and more goals.
Coming through with the England rap, I love Chip Gravy, Big Bats. I think Britain should go first, because we have all the fittest birds. Scoring goals for the England thing, get them foreigners on a plane.
Even if results don't go our way, I'll love England anyway.
We're gonna score goals, goals. We're gonna score goals, goals. Even without scoring, we're gonna score lots of goals, bad goals and more goals.
Yo. Here we go, England rap part 2. We are the best, all the rest are poo. Our boys are gonna kick the balls with their shoe, and that ball is gonna go in their net. Russia, more like shit. England, yeah, they're lit. France, more like not that good. England, yeah, that's us, that's the good ones. Come on, England, get it in the net.
Get that ball in there.
Bun all the others, them boys are wet.
Wet, wet, drip, splash.
If you don't win the cup,
yeah, you better win.
Well, I guess I won't be very happy that we didn't win the cup.
Yeah, that's all.
Goal.